B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, Wednesday morning. Not nearly as joyous this morning, is it? As we get rolling, the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bradford White Water Heaters bringing you the 6 a.m. hour. Bradford White here for the pro. Bob Cooney, a wise, wise man on this show, said something in pre-show that I think is important to remember today. He said the Phillies' victory last night is much more, you know, much more important or much better than the Sixers' loss. And boy, do I have to agree with him. Because I've reached my point of with the NBA where I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of we don't care about this game. We'll worry about the next game. We'll give these three players the night off. We'll give these two guys the night off. You never know what the product's going to be on a nightly basis. NBA just having to answer stories from the New York newspapers the other day about ratings being down significantly across the board. While baseball ratings are up, while NFL ratings were up, the NBA having to worry about why they're down 20%, 25%, 30%. It's because they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about the product on a night-to-night basis. You're buying tickets. You're investing your time. You're seeing something on your calendar, and you're saying, I want to watch this game, and they don't give a crap about it. They don't care who plays. Oh, this guy is ill tonight. There are more guys ill on the Sixers. What I would suggest is buy some Lysol wipes. Because they have more guys that are just out with a non-COVID illness than any team I've ever seen. And if it's true from the ESPN last night, their coverage, the Sixers have had more of this than almost every team in the NBA. Non-COVID sickness, he's out. I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it. You sit down, you're excited, you're waiting for a game, you're waiting for something, for a big clinch. It doesn't happen. We have plenty of reasons for that. We'll hear from Doc Rivers coming up. But that Phillies game was worth the price of admission. If you had to pay for it, you just got to watch it on TV. That was worth it. It was worth seeing Chase Anderson there. And I've learned something, and I knew it all along because I've seen it from media forever. So if you pull your starting pitcher too early, you're going to get ripped by the media. If you pull your starting pitcher too late, you're going to get ripped by the media. So it's a confounding thing that a good thing, like a win over the Nationals, and now a chance to win a road playoff series, which they haven't done in 21 months, this franchise maybe, 21 months since they've won a road playoff series, they got a chance to do it. They got two chances to do it, just like they did in Atlanta this past weekend. We will watch how this all plays out, but a good win for the Phillies last night that doesn't deserve to be buried. And that's where we begin this morning with Bob and with Jamie and with Pat and the coach. Mike is directing on YouTube. You can check that out. And when you call, you can talk to Connor Thomas at 610-632-0975. Bob, it's just one of those feelings I have. I'm watching Brian Windhorst do a story on SportsCenter about, well, is the NBA struggling? Is there anything to these dropping television ratings and what's going on? And they're trying to blame it on all these other things. They're saying, well, there's a segment of America who doesn't like the social justice stuff, and they're boycotting it. I think it's they're boycotting it because the product is crap many nights.
Yeah, well, look at the best players in the league, and you can go up and down the line. Jokic is a guy that's probably going to win MVP, and the reason is because he shows up every night. And he's had a great season.
But, sure.
All right, name your best players in the league. You know, LeBron James out for a long time. Anthony Davis out for a long time.
Well,
Joel Embiid out for. Yeah.
They're injured. That's a big difference. He's not out with, well, this week he's sick. 2 weeks ago he's sick. 4 weeks ago he's out with a tightness in his knee.
No, I hear you. But doesn't it seem like it's always something? I never doubt somebody's injury, and I told you the late great Phil Jasner always told me when I took over the beat for him, he said, never, ever question somebody's injury. You never know how somebody else feels. But, you know, in this day and age, LeBron James gets a high ankle sprain, and the next day they say he's out 3 to 4 weeks. Like, even that was kind of, to me, it was, wow, really? How do you know? Sprained ankles are funny, and you know,
sure, absolutely,
bounce back in different ways. But it's true. You're right, John. You just look at the best players in the league, and it's unbelievable how many box scores you look at, and you just don't see the best players playing. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden, injuries, rest, whatever it may be, these guys don't play a lot. Just don't play a lot.
I mean, it's my fault for focusing so much of my day on, damn, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in front of the television, and I'm going to see this game. This is so exciting. This is going to be so much fun. Watch this clinch tonight. And you go out there, and you're watching a team that's not the team. You're watching a team that Sixers game last night didn't resemble any of the energy, didn't resemble any of the game plan, didn't resemble anything that I've been watching all year long, Jamie. It sort of pisses me off. Maybe that's my fault for not being smarter and just realizing this is the game today. Deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can look back to that Nets-Sixers game that we thought was the most important game of the year 2 weeks ago, and the Nets told you, yeah, we don't care. Like, I just don't think people put stock in seeding as much as they should. You know, the product I don't think is ever going to go back to the old way where people are playing all 81 games. I personally think that they should shorten the season by 10 games, 12 games, and eliminate back-to-backs if you can figure it out with scheduling and all that, because it's affecting the product. If ratings are down 20%, you can't ignore that. That's something real.
Some of the primetime games, they're down more than that.
Yeah, and I do think that's the reason why. You know, it's just you never know what you're going to get. I don't even like betting NBA games until the lineups are announced or who's going to be out. You literally never know who's going to play.
When I see Joel Embiid is not in a game, though, Pat, immediately I say, well, I'm not watching the Sixers. I'm like, I mean, right, when I know Joel Embiid could be playing, and yes, you can, if it's a, you can play. He's not injured. He's not out with a debilitating injury. When I see he's not playing, I say, okay, I'm really not watching the Sixers tonight. I'm watching something they're trying to cobble together that is wearing Sixers jerseys.
Yeah, it makes it easier to focus on the Phillies a little bit.
Absolutely. Definitely I watched more Phillies. Yes.
I had the Sixers on the tablet, which is a good indication of the pecking order, right? Your second kind of interest level is always going to be on the tablet. But it was one of those situations where you're like, they still should win. They still should. But to your point, my interest level was at the, well, they still should win, so they're going to get the tablet because the best player isn't there. When in reality, baseball is actually best suited for a tablet situation. Baseball is slow paced and whatnot. And I'm sitting there watching the slowest pitcher on earth, Chase Anderson, dish it out.
Were you trying to be funny, or is that just because that's sort of funny?
It was an attempt.
It was an attempt. I like that. I'm going to give you credit.
You should hear my material for 7 o'clock.
I'm going to give you credit. Yeah, don't use all the good stuff early.
Yeah, but baseball is the slow paced game. That should be on the tablet.
Absolutely.
But with Embiid out, it's like it makes the decision easier.
Okay, you're watching. It's just a little side thing here before we move on with this. When baseball's on the TV, I'm usually doing something else and watching.
I was juggling last night. I had Mayor of Easttown, Sixers, and Phillies.
Wait a minute. You can't watch Mayor of Easttown and watch two sporting events at the same time.
Well, I had the...
How do you follow it?
That's murder.
It's so dark. Like, it's so darkly filmed.
They murdered a dude.
Yeah, it's so dark. Every shot is dark.
Yeah.
Every living room. They have no lights in these living rooms.
No. I had the Sixers on my laptop, the Phillies on the iPad, and Mayer was on the TV. It was an effort last night.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you watching this with your wife?
No wonder you're exhausted today.
Okay, seriously, you exhausted your brain last night. Bob, that would never fly in our house. I don't know about you. Like, there's no way if I'm sitting down to watch. So your wife's watching it with you?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. There's no way that there's two other devices on and we're watching Mayer of Easttown.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're on mute.
Let's just watch it another night.
But to your point, Embiid wasn't playing, and I was kind of like, all right, well, I can pay attention without being completely devoted to it. And then Phillies is like the ultimate white noise background.
Right.
You can secondary follow that pretty easily.
And that's not a put down to baseball at all.
No.
It just sort of is, I love baseball on the radio.
Yeah, it's a great white noise.
I love baseball on the radio. I enjoy that very much, except all the clapping by the color analyst.
Maravich sounds getting pretty good.
Oh, my God.
You should wait till this week's episode was...
We finished three last night.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm only through three.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when... Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
It was something.
Okay, so again, Bob, I do not like it when people are complaining about stuff that they know is reality. Just deal with it. Because it's like when there's nothing that can be changed. This can be changed. There's something that a legit commissioner could change about this sport.
I think you got to shorten the schedule.
There's something that can be done. Well, I like that. I mean, that's one idea.
Yeah.
But if the Players Association is so clear on the star players do not want to play because I believe the star players do not want to play 82 games. Because people keep saying, like I had a bunch of emails yesterday. You don't think Joel Embiid wants to play 82 games? No, I don't. And you can send every email to me and tell me that you're crazy. He's the ultimate competitor. I absolutely disagree with you completely. You're free to have that opinion, and that's fine. That's fine. I do not buy that for a second. You are entitled to that opinion. I don't agree. There's no way because a player that was, if you tried to take certain players out in certain sports out of games, they speak behind a microphone and they say, I don't want to be out. I don't want to have rest. I want to play every game. I want to be there. These star players, I don't think they want it. Kyrie Irving does not want to play every game. I know for a fact if you go to, if you would just head out to L.A., both teams, they don't want to have either one of the star teams.
Well, LeBron might, but he's different.
LeBron plays, he's a beast. He's a mutant.
Yeah, it's just go to human nature.
And I respect him out of that.
Yeah. He doesn't want a day off, you know? I'm not saying
they get days off.
Yeah.
They get days off.
It's different. Like, I don't, if Joel Embiid, if you put it to him and said, do you want to play all 82 games? He would say, yeah. I've been around where he's been pissed off, where they've sat him and he didn't want to sit. And he said it to the media. I think after 5-6 years, he's given up on it. I really do. I think like that's not the fight anymore. The fight isn't, I'm not going to go to these guys every time and say, come on, play me on a Wednesday night on the back to back because I want to prove it. He's just, in my opinion, he's just given up on it. Like, okay, this is the way they're going to use me, and you know, they're paying me $28 million a year. I guess I have to do it. I think
that disappoints me in a major way then about him as a competitor.
No. I don't think so. I just think like he's been so worn down to it that the fight's not there anymore to fight them. Look, I honestly believe, having been around the guy a lot, he wants to play every day. He does. I firmly, firmly believe that. I think it's been beat down on him that, like, no, you need to rest in order to be at your best come playoff time, that he's just given into it. You know, you're told something over and over and over and over and over again. At some point, you have to give up and give in to the masses, and it's not the fight to fight anymore.
Pat, you were in that camp that you should just give up? Like, just give up?
I'm not saying he's just
No, but I mean, it's not speaking up. I think you speak up.
He has. He has plenty of times over the years, John. Trust me.
This team needs it now, though, Bob. This team has a chance to win a title.
And they think their best chance is to have him healthy for the playoffs.
They've gotten him to buy into that mindset. And with all of this talk that we have today, they're still going to clinch number one seed.
Yeah, they are. They're absolutely. So, and instead of kicking the door in, they're going to stumble to it. Miami tomorrow night. You feel good about that one now? Did they rest Joel for that, for Miami?
If Joel plays, I feel good about
beating Miami. Yeah. Miami needs that game desperately to avoid the play-in, make sure that they guarantee they're not going to be in the play-in, or guarantee they're in the 4-5.
Worst case, you got two against Orlando, and that's that.
Yeah, the problem is, too, you don't want Miami to win, or you get Miami, that game tomorrow night?
I don't think teams view it that way. After what Brooklyn did 2 weeks ago, I don't think... Outside of the number one seed, which I think the Sixers feel they have locked up, I don't think teams view it like that.
Well, they do
have it
locked up.
Yeah, I don't think teams view it like that anymore.
Hey, Respectable Roofing, for all your roofing needs, the name says it all. Respectable Roofing, where respect matters. Doc Rivers last night, you got that for us there, Pat? Doc Rivers last night put the blame clearly, though, on the offense.
You know, it's rare that I said this was an offensive loss, but this was an offensive loss tonight. I didn't think our spacing was correct, and I didn't think we were very organized tonight in the second half. We didn't run our stuff. You know, you ask your team after the game, how many times did we run our early offense? And when they can't give you the answer, that's the answer.
Okay, Bob, explain to me a little bit, because that is that's honestly going above my head a little bit as to why they wouldn't be able to answer the coach why they did something on the court. Yeah. I don't like, because that seems like a choice. Am I wrong?
You want the surface level answer before Bob gets PhD on you? 32 points in the second half.
No, I got that. I mean, I know that.
You know, so, I mean, that's it.
No, but I mean, but I don't understand why, if the coach says to you, why? Because that would tell me that is a choice they were making on the court.
I think not
do that.
Yeah, I think what Doc's talking about. Now, people look at coaches and say, why didn't you call something? Coaches put the onus on the players. Like, look, you know if they're in this, call this. This is the offense we want. He'll just say, situation, where are we? You're up eight, you know, 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. I don't know less than that. 8 minutes to go, maybe in the fourth quarter, you're up eight. Is that a time to just run down and throw up a three? Is it a time to maybe take some time off the clock? I think what he means by it was an offensive loss. Indiana's a team over the last nine games, John, had given up 133, 126, 154, 130, 133. Listen to those numbers.
It's horrendous.
And the Sixers wind up scoring 94 last night. They didn't get into sets last night. They played a helter-skelter kind of offense where it was, what are we doing here? And I think that's what Doc's alluding to, whereas they weren't smart offensively. Time, situation, what are we running, where are the mismatches, how they didn't take more advantage of TJ McConnell playing defense on Tobias Harris at times, on Ben Simmons at times, you know, that was just ludicrous and dumb.
Danny Green, Seth Curry, Dwight Howard.
I got a little bone to pick with Seth.
Well, Danny Green, Seth Curry, Dwight Howard gave you 20 points.
Seth Curry can't pass up three-pointers. He's doing too much pump faking, too much dribble driving. Shoot the damn ball when you're open.
Ala pointed that out last night.
Yeah, shoot it. Shoot it, dude.
He pointed that out on the broadcast.
And I think that's what Doc means by spacing. Seth, you're here to shoot. You're here to space the half court. Shoot. You're getting open looks. Shoot. Because come playoff time, that's what needs to be done.
Why was Mike Scott...
And that was my other point I was going to make. He's a minus 41 in his last five games.
He's a horrendous NBA player. He is a horrendous
So you
player.
Start the game last night. They win the opening tap with Ben Simmons. Mike Scott comes down and throws the ball away immediately.
Immediately.
He needs to stop playing.
And then Simmons comes down and I think twice went to the basket and dunked. And you see him turn to Mike Scott. It might have been after his first basket. He turned to Mike Scott and he said, concentrate. Like, he pointed to his head and you could read his lips. He like, concentrate.
Guess what? What are you doing? That ship has already sailed with Mike Scott.
Yeah, I don't know why we're doing this.
I don't know what people are watching with Mike Scott that they're thinking it's going to be any better. More importantly, Bob, I expect Doc Rivers to understand that.
Yeah, so
I don't get what he's... What are you trying to do?
He's just filling minutes.
There's more inside of this than anything else. It's the number one spot's clinched.
I gotcha.
You know, Milwaukee's not going to go undefeated and the Sixers aren't going to go winless in their last. So it's clinched. So you put Mike Scott out there last night for 26 abysmal minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's more of a case of, here's a veteran guy. I'll give him minutes. I don't want to use up Dwight Howard. I have to buy some minutes because of all the people that are out tonight. So it's almost like, let me waste it on him because, you know, he can eat some up.
Hey, committed to being up front with their customers, NJM has no jingles or mascots, just great insurance. Get a quote today at NJM.com. If you're frustrated and want to share a thought with us, you can. It's 610-632-0975. We have Connor working in there for you.
I'd rather see Isaiah Joe at this point.
What's, Pat, what did you think last night of Chase Anderson? He's getting crushed by the Phillies media beat.
Why?
For not pinch hitting Joe Girardi, for not pinch hitting for Chase Anderson, who had retired, I believe, 15 of 16.
Oh, but...
So he's getting buried by the guys who cover the Phillies for not being pinch hit for in the sixth when they also beat on Joe Girardi for pulling pitchers too early. So which is it does he get killed for? I don't understand.
I don't understand how you rip Chase Anderson for not pinch hitting. Like, as if it was his decision.
He doesn't make that call.
He got yanked with 85 pitches. I mean...
Effective. By the way, 15 of 16.
Yeah, looked really good. But hey, Johnny, he walked Juan Soto.
It was a dumb decision.
I mean,
it was dumb in the moment.
Chase Anderson.
Yeah, they got the win.
Chase Anderson putting 15 of 16 down. So I'm a nerd. So I start to look and I go, okay, so they're taking Chase Anderson's here. I'm looking and going, wait a minute, 15 of 16. Wheeler. That's the starter of the Phillies this year that has put down 15 of 16 in a start. Wheeler. That's it.
It was done.
So this start was an amazing start.
I don't know if I've ever seen a manager who is so eager to get to his bullpen.
God.
He's burned his bullpen for the rest of... Wheeler needs to go deep in this game because David Hale... You're going to end up seeing David Hale in this series at some point.
Jamie, it's like it's date night. And you come home and tell your wife, you know that crappy restaurant at the corner? I can't wait to take you there. Tomorrow night, we're going to the crappy restaurant. And she says to you, why are you so anxious to get to the crappy restaurant? Why are you so anxious to take me there? But why in the freaking world, one pitcher this year has gone 15 of 16 outs, and it's Wheeler in a spectacular start last
week? That's great. And you say, Chase, thank you for your service. You great night, buddy. Hit the showers. Because what's this team's problem? Tacking on runs. You had a bases-loaded situation with Alec Bohm sitting on the bench versus a lefty pitcher. And here, guess how many sixth-inning outs Chase Anderson has given you this year? Zero.
That wasn't last night's start.
You have Trey Turner and Juan Soto coming up. That's where you pinch hit. You know he's on a short leash in the next inning, why not pinch hit for him?
Well, the bullpen...
You need runs.
The bullpen showed that it's exactly who they are.
And it was a fully rested bullpen. There's no reason not to.
They are who we think they are, rested or not.
Well, that's not fair. I mean, they didn't give up.
They didn't give up a run.
They didn't give up a run.
Innings. But they
struggled, though. Hits.
Correct.
Yeah. They didn't make it easy.
They did not make it easy.
But they were good.
I thought Hector looked terrific.
Oh,
my God. Can we stop with this Hector narrative?
What's your alternative?
Oh, my God.
Anything. I'm tired of this with the Phillies. What's your alternative in center field?
Until Archie Bradley's back, there's no real alternative.
Oh, my God.
So the Phillies win. They are 19-17. So there's a little bit of good news for you as you start your Wednesday morning. You want to get in with us and vent a bit, you are welcome at 610-632-0975. Got a chance for you to win $500 coming up at 8 o'clock. Plus, Jamie is going to brag on a man who deserves to be bragged on coming up. And also, too, as the Sixers season winds down, more discussion on personal awards. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Jamie, we cannot answer that. If you got, I don't know if the gentleman reached out to you too, asking, do we think we watched 3 episodes? Do we think we know who the killer is? I suspected something. Pat would not confirm nor deny.
I don't have a good read on it yet. I need one more episode.
Pat would not confirm
you're not going to believe
end
it,
of
Bob.
The first episode.
It's a murder mystery.
I'm going to watch this. Oh, it is?
Oh,
you
got to watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
It's good.
Do you like those shows?
What?
Murder mysteries?
For the local angle alone.
I do, yeah. Yeah. No, I really do want to see it.
It's good.
I love Kate Winslet.
You're good.
I think she's phenomenal.
You're going to want to be caught up for this week.
Okay, good.
And you're going to want to watch it.
What week was this?
This past week was 4.
Okay, so,
I only have one more.
So
okay.
Episode 5 is coming up, and you're going to want to
watch it. All right, I'll probably do that tonight.
Are you in the Lynch household, the Egan household, the Cooney household, the Datelines, the 2020s?
My wife goes to sleep to Cold Case and First 48.
I love those shows. Yeah. I don't like, are they like, is that the one on ID?
The First 48?
Where they bounce around like
Yeah.
Like, and they say, like, and it keeps showing you the clock on the screen.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I've watched that a couple times. Sometimes I find it harder to follow because I'm like, they jump from the one case to another. And I'm like, wait a minute, who's that? And I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah, Dateline's one of my wife's favorites.
Criminal Minds is Donna's favorite. That is a cool show. I think
Is that the one with
the dude got fired because he, like, kicked somebody on set? I forget. I don't know who any of the actors are.
The guy from Dharma and Greg.
Yes.
The guy from Dharma and Greg was in that one.
I like 48 Hours a lot.
I like the 48 Hours because it's 1 hour.
Eddie Murphy?
Because it's 1 hour.
Yeah. I just like the, but did he really like 48 Hours? And then he go into it.
No. You're thinking of Dateline.
Oh, okay. You're right. Oh, you're right. Yeah. I'm thinking of Dateline.
And that is Mr. Morrison, who is Chandler Bing's father.
But was he really Chandler Bing's father?
He's Chandler Bing's stepfather in real life.
Yeah, I love the.
Yes, it was a cold. Voice. It was a cold winter's morning.
He questions everything.
The sun came up.
And I'm sitting there going, "Did the sun really come up?"
While everybody had their coffee, did they realize that there had been a murder? Look out the back window.
Murder, dirter.
Oh my gosh! Hey, if you got a stucco home, by the way, call the stucco testing specialist. They'll schedule your professional stucco inspection today. Mention the Fanatic to receive $50 off. You can visit stuccotestingspecialists.com. All right, now just adjusting back to Northeast life or Mid-Atlantic life, if you will. This is not normal, right? Mid-May?
What?
Temperatures? Because this is nice and cool.
It is cool, isn't
like
it?
There has not
cool
been any...
Cool breeze, yeah.
There have not been any...
Yesterday was like perfect for me. Sunny with a cool breeze.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
But there's like... But it's cool. This is a little cooler than normal, correct?
Probably than years past, yeah. Okay. Probably a little bit.
Because it seems cooler. It seems wonderful.
Oh, I love it.
I'll dial this up.
Minus the allergies, it's great.
See, now you're getting... It's so weird is that maybe my allergies have just... Because I have not gotten it the way you guys have just been crushed by it.
Yeah, Jamie's so, hurt
Jamie,
more
the
today
gator,
than me.
The gator you've got on, we've been wearing these things. When you're doing stuff outside, you've got to wear the gator.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Come on, Jamie, wear the gator.
I don't like wearing... I'm over
you'd
this.
You'd rather do this?
You'd rather be miserable the person and sick? You are?
Probably.
Like, why would you do that?
Gross. You're gross.
Probably.
Oh, my gosh.
Dealing with grass clippers.
Don't play with I have bad allergies, and I could never wear a mask when I'm cutting the grass.
So you couldn't?
I couldn't.
No.
It's just too sweaty and stuff like that.
Self-propelled or propelling it with Cooper with Cooney Power?
Well, that's funny you bring that up. The self-propel on the mower is now broken. I have to take it in for it. So yesterday, I got done cutting
the
lawn.
Now it's Cooney Propel.
Yeah, so I got done cutting the lawn yesterday, and I come in, and Donna's like, our other house's lawn was way bigger than this. Why are you tired? And I'm like, the self-propel doesn't work. I'm pushing it by myself.
I'm the only one of the neighbors without a riding mower. And my neighbor came over yesterday. I was like, because I bought it from the previous homeowner as part of like some things left behind.
Okay.
And I was like, why the hell did this guy not get a riding mower?
Oh, it's his fault. Why didn't he leave me a riding mower? Why didn't he leave me a Mercedes Benz?
Jamie, tell our sales team.
Yeah, I need a riding mower.
Tell our sales team how much a listen, there are advertisers always.
Sure.
Listen, how much would a riding mower mean to change your life?
Oh, dude, it'd put me with my daughter an extra hour and a half at least every week.
I hear an ad.
Yeah.
Go on, go on. Well, what else could it do? You could get more time.
Simplify my life. You know, just,
they have cup holders in them now, too.
I had to empty the yardage mulch bag like 5 times yesterday. A riding mower would give me some nice.
Bob, they have a. We had a neighbor that had one once that it had the umbrella holder.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You see some really cool ones.
It had the thing where you can slide in an umbrella.
Yeah. Those zero turn mowers are amazing.
Oh, my gosh, they're awesome.
You can get done a yard in like 20 minutes.
By the way, I heard Mike Missinelli's show the other day. Really good stuff. And Mike was talking about the fact he says they need to invent zero turn golf carts. They have zero turn golf carts.
Wait. Zero turn golf
carts. He said the golf carts. He says golf carts you can never turn.
Yeah, they're paid.
I'm like, with Mike Missinelli's money, you can absolutely get a zero turn. you can get yourself a zero turn.
His club doesn't have them, though.
Oh,
you know, yeah. He should get one of those. Like, have you seen the ones where you can put your? It's like a motorcycle where you put your bag in and you ride it.
See, now I've not seen that one, but I do have a bunch of the people I used to golf with back in Atlanta got the for Christmas because they like to walk whenever you can.
The remote one.
That you just, they wear the fob on
and it follows you.
Yeah.
That's spectacular.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
spectacular.
Cool.
You don't have to carry a bag. Bag walk goes behind you.
You just need a cup holder on there and you're all set.
No, there is a cup holder. There's a water bottle holder and a cup holder.
This is the most dad conversation of all time.
Oh, my God.
I understand why dad's obsessed over lawns now. Like, I get it. After I cut the grass, I stand there and I go.
And you feel good about it.
I go, look at that.
Right?
I did
You're in your new balances.
Yeah.
I did that.
You feel good about it.
It feels good. He doesn't good. Look at Skyler that way, but he looks at his lawn yeah. now
or,
and says,
no,
I did that.
Pat, the number one, I just saw the other day, the number one dad sneak.
Oh, the Air Monarchs?
The Air Monarchs.
The white Nike yeah. with yeah. the blue stripe.
Yeah, the Air Monarchs.
Yeah. That is
Put some
the,
respect on the Monarch
that's
name.
The
I'm not there
one.
Yet. I got to ease into that
no,
into my
but that,
40s.
No, but now it's the... That is the one of the number one things was suggested yesterday, either Yahoo or Google on the front page, as a suggested gift for dad.
Oh, jeez.
It said it's so they were so uncool, they are now a cool.
I've seen a couple.
Are they a status symbol now?
Yeah,
really?
I mean they're synonymous with the dad life to the point where I know a couple friends who are having babies and they're getting them as gifts.
That's a great idea. No, what it said for Father's Day. Yeah. It's a great gift to women. They're saying, get this. They said these were so uncool that they are now the cool thing.
So it fits Jamie's profile.
It'll fit you in there. It'll,
you can get a pair of DSW for $69.99.
Ooh, they raised the price.
Bob, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Bob, what was that price?
$69.99, Bob.
Bob likes that. By the way, I would suggest to you that the DSW in Ardmore or Wynwood.
Wynwood.
Yes, it's considered Wynwood. Absolutely spectacular location. So nice, I went there nice for the place. First time the other day. It was really, really good. Had some good stuff. In the linchpin, Jamie wants to bring a little joyous celebration to the show by celebrating this guy. Who is it?
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, Elton Brand is quickly developing a reputation as a great drafter. I think Tyrese Maxey, you know, Bob will tell you, leading up to the draft, he's who I wanted from the start. He's going to be a real deal player in the NBA. I'm not telling you he's going to be an every year all-star or anything, but he belongs in a big way. Matisse Thybulle, if he can get himself in a gym and get comfortable with where he's at offensively, he's going to be an absolute steal in the draft. Isaiah Joe looks like he has an NBA shot. You know, he's probably a bench player for his career, but he can bring a lot of value to a team. And then we'll see what B-ball Paul Reed can do. But Elton Brand is quickly becoming a great eye for talent coming out of these drafts. And, I was laughing the other night. Sixers and fans and Sixers Twitter and all that erupted 2 years ago that the Sixers didn't take Carson Edwards. Carson Edwards is a fringe NBA player, most likely.
And I said no.
And that Matisse Thybulle trade and deal and able to, you know, have an eye for that, that's hard to come by. And, you know, Daryl Morey gets all the praise because, you know, he's the big sexy name in the front office. Elton Brand is quickly becoming a really, really nice asset for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I just wanted to tip my hat to him this morning because I think he's done a great job.
What is it, Bob, about Elton Brand that maybe is giving him that edge that Jamie's bragging on?
I think there's a respect around the league for him, not only as a player that he was, but as a person. Elton's a great, great dude, and one of the best professionals, maybe the best professional, honest to God, that I ever dealt with.
But that doesn't help you draft players, right?
No, it doesn't. It helps having those contacts, having those... There's a Duke thing around the, and maybe rightfully so, around the NBA that it's just like, that. It's when you're in doubt of who to hire in a front office thing, look to Duke and then go down the list. there really is, and I'm not right or wrong, it's just the way. But Elton's got so many great contacts and so many, he just has a great outlook on things that I think it lends to these great draftings, and it also lends to you talking to the right people, and you knowing who the right people are to believe and trust in their eye of who's good and who's could be this or that, besides having a great eye himself. I think Elton's eye for talent is above and beyond, and I noticed it when he was a player, when we would just sit and talk, and he would point out somebody, a fringe player. Keep an eye on him. He might be something someday. Elton just has an eye for the game, and it helps him in the drafting.
You think he looks for some sort of common DNA in the player as
yeah.
far as personality, attitude, work ethic?
Probably.
Things like that? Or do you look at people as individuals based on talent?
I think it's a complete picture. I think the work ethic and the personalities go into it. You know, Doc Rivers was raving about Tyrese Maxey. He said, I can't get this kid off the practice court. He said he's the first one in, the last one to leave, works his ass off. Matisse Thybulle, like, you don't become that good defensively without working at it and studying your opponent. So, you know, talent is the ultimate key to all of this, but you need to supplement talent with work ethic. And I think so far, Elton's getting the right guys. And look, this process window's probably open for another 3 years of your core being intact. After that, you need to keep supplementing with young talent like Therese and Thybulle. And I have confidence right now they can do that.
Pat, Daryl Morey gets all the credit, again, as the sexy name, you know, the guy in the front office. But that's a pretty good tandem.
It's a great tandem.
Especially when they can work together.
Yeah, it kind of annoyed me on draft night because Daryl Morey got all the credit for every move that was made. And I remember sitting there going, yeah, let's remember Elton Brand's in the front office too. And it's unfortunate because I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Elton Brand went out and got Al Horford and the deal was terrible. But he should also get credit for realizing 1 year in, okay, this ain't working, and to switch gears. Because I think a lot of GMs in every sport, they'll double down on their move. They'll double down on their, like, big-time move. Not only did he not do that, and him and Daryl Morey orchestrated the trade out, which is a good trade to get Danny Green in here, but, yeah, their eye for talent is astounding.
I've read before where, gosh, I cannot think of the writer who used to...
Stephen King.
No, stop. Who used to be in New York.
Stop it.
Bob, used to be in New York that covered the NBA, who fell out of favor.
Chris Sheridan?
Vesey?
Peter Vesey.
Peter Vesey?
Peter Vesey used to write about that no GM was a good scouter and a good... The combination of getting somebody that was a good scouter for college basketball talent.
Right.
And then getting somebody who knew how to
architect
a team. That those two, there was a severe disconnect. And when you found the one guy who could do that, is maybe Brand better at one than the other?
Well, we went over Morey's drafts before. They weren't great while he was in Houston.
Right.
So maybe, to your point, Morey's the architect, Elton's the eye.
But he also tends to trade back, though, too, a lot, right?
Or yeah, he does.
He doesn't value Daryl Morey, it appears, doesn't value draft picks as much as some organizations do.
I think it's a perfect combination in this, in that Daryl Morey will get you to the place that's most beneficial for you, meaning what he gets back or where you need to be. And I think Elton has that keen eye of talent.
Right.
So when you combine the two of them, I think it's a really cool, it could be a very cool tandem that gets you places that maybe you didn't envision a Sixers organization being for a lot of years.
That's pretty good.
My only fear is some team tries to poach Elton away.
Could happen.
I've thought of that often.
Because if he's, you know, in the shadows of Daryl Morey, he might at one point go, all right, well, I'm the ticket.
Only problem is he's a GM.
Yeah, so Morey's the president.
He'd have to become president.
GM and president. Yeah,
you got to give him the dual role.
And somebody might.
Somebody might.
If he keeps drafting
absolutely
like this.
I think he rides it out. I think he lives here. His kids go to school here. I think Elton rides this out. I really do believe he loves the Sixers organization.
Bob, you made a case yesterday about when we were talking about Jamie, and the love of Embiid for the MVP and the discussion about Embiid for the MVP. We all love Joel Embiid. All love the performance we're getting. But you sort of wanted to spin it into another direction, too.
Well, you know, Jamie was making the argument for Embiid yesterday about MVP.
Solid argument, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to...
Sure.
So, when we were finishing up, Jamie just looked at us. He goes, well, who would you take? And of course, and we all agreed. I would take Embiid over Jokic any day of the week. If I'm starting a team and I got to do it, absolutely. But I'll ask this to you guys. In the current NBA, right now, where the players are, age, everything, who would you take as your first pick to start a team? Because I don't know if it's, you know, last 5 years, LeBron, no question. It could be that. It could be, I don't know, LeBron now at 35, and now he's starting to show some, hurt in his body. But who would you take?
To me,
I mean,
I don't think Embiid would be picked by almost anybody.
Unfortunately, not because of the injury.
I
think Steph Curry would be picked by a large portion of people in the NBA, and I would understand it completely. For a variety of reasons, I would understand it completely. Indefensible by today's NBA rules, he's indefensible.
It's so weird because, and it's just the way I was brought up and taught, and I still go by it, and I'm, I would take either a dominant big man or a point guard.
I think I'm going Luka.
It's not bad, Jamie. That's not bad.
Because
you're talking about building a team,
he's
too.
He's so young.
And you got to take age into it.
Good. Luka was one of the guys that popped into my head. I don't
what
know.
What do you think the Hawks think
here?
When they think about they had Luka and they take Trae? Now, Trae Young's
he's a nice player.
Yeah, but I'll
nice
take Luka every day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're hoping a Trae Young turns into something like a Steph Curry.
He's not there.
No, he's not there
the
yet.
I mean, he can't be the
he's
shooter.
Not, nobody can be the shooter.
Steph's incredible.
You know, so you have Luka, you have Embiid is a decent guy. You know, people might say LeBron. I'll take LeBron now, even at 35.
I don't think any executive's saying Embiid.
So, that's interesting.
Because guess what? I know what you're saying here as far as...
I'm not saying Embiid either.
No, as far as you guys saying... He wants to play every night. I do not believe people in NBA circles believe that.
The only reason I'm not taking Embiid, one, is because of the injury concerns.
Yeah, that's a major reason.
Yeah. Other than that,
you can make an argument if you're... And my friend Rock and I were going back and forth about this last night. You can make the argument, and he and I are huge Ben Simmons followers. Some people might take a guy like Simmons that can... distribute a ball like he does and play the overall game he does, and then you sprinkle in the great shooters, a good big man. You know what I mean? So there's different ways you can look at it. I'm not saying I'm taking Ben Simmons number one overall to start a team, but someone that's a facilitator like that.
The first name I thought of was Luka, but I'm taking Giannis.
You're taking Giannis.
I'm not.
Yeah. Okay, well, I didn't ask you, Jamie.
This is why I put it out there.
Pat, I understand what you're saying. I mean, Giannis is a great...
He's a freak.
He's a freak.
I think Giannis is tougher to find.
Do you think he gives you enough defensively?
Probably not, but once again, I think he's...
Less than I expected him to be.
I think you'll have an easier time finding a Luka than you will finding a Giannis.
Giannis can't shoot.
But he tries.
He does try.
I tell you, I hear tries more on this show more than anything I've ever heard in my life.
Like we try to deal with you, and we can't.
Tries. They try really hard.
So who's your answer? I mean, is it
Luka.
Steph Curry?
Yours is Luka. Yours is Steph. What do you got, Pat?
Giannis.
I mean, if age wasn't a factor.
The fact that there's three different answers
was my point when I thought of this last night, and I don't really
answer
have
a coward.
One.
You gave the damn question. Come on, Bob. I didn't have an answer. I think Bob's going to go Luka.
I think Bob's going Furkan.
Gary Clark, newest Sixer.
I might go big man. I might go Embiid. I was taught get a point guard, get a big man. You build around that. I don't think there's the most dominant point guard in the league. I think he is by far the most dominant big man. So I might start my team with Joel Embiid. And it's funny. It goes back to schoolyard days, right? You're picking five. You know, what five you got? Oh, I'll take the biggest, strongest, you know, most dominant big man. You know, that's like basketball at its core before. I still stick with that.
That is interesting because I did not expect three different answers.
Yeah, it's funny. Four different answers.
Yeah. Honestly,
well, it kind of tells you how good the league is in terms of talent.
How is the again? It brings us back full circle to the beginning of the hour. How is the league suffering with viewers when you have all of this talent, all of these young players, all of these exciting marketable players, and people are tuning it out more than they have in a decade and a half? Like, what is it? It's that they're not showing up for work.
It's baseball season, boy.
Fredo tweets in and says, interesting, nobody took Durant. It's a good point.
I thought of him, but injuries.
Oh, I thought of Durant.
But it's the age thing for me. I mean,
what is he?
Because I'm taking LeBron every time if age isn't a factor.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm taking that age thing to heart. Like, if I'm building a team, I don't want to take anybody over the age of 30.
Guys,
I'm an ageist.
Guy says to me, here, is there a is the Phillies are only one game back. I said, sir, you're going to have to look at the standings on May 11th for me, or May 12th, or whatever it is. I'm not going to indulge
Mets,
you in your...
Mets had a big...
We're one game out in the division. It's May freaking 12th.
Do we envelope that?
Stop with the things. No, we do not.
Mets had a big come from behind win last night.
Yeah.
The Orioles.
Yeah, the Mets. Yeah, the Mets. Orioles a little better, eh?
Yeah, they are. They're actually playing.
They're a little better,
decent baseball.
I heard from my Yankee friends last night when I was bitching about Joe Girardi. And my friend's first First text back to me. How many pitching changes tonight?
Oh, gosh. Don't even get me started.
He didn't even see the game. He had no idea. He just said, how many pitching changes?
Just guessing.
Yep.
Just guessing. There's DNA on it. The crime scene. You can find Joe Girardi's crime scenes are really easy. You don't even have to dust for fingerprints. You can just check a box score and know, and it's gotten to that. And again, the amount of grief that Gabe Kapler took in this town, it Joe Girardi deserves every bit the scrutiny, the focus, the attention to what hasn't been going well.
And Rhys Hoskins, learn how to play defense. Oh my gosh. My God.
Give up.
How hard is that?
Give up.
It's a first baseman.
It's not happening. Give up. He should be able to get a
base.
Hoskins is not going to be a better defensive player. It's the ship has sailed.
You want to put Adam Haseley and just retire?
No, he is what he is. Stop expecting it to get better. Rhys Hoskins is not getting any better defensively.
It's first base.
But I understand. He handles it like a butcher.
He's
diffusing bombs. Oh, my gosh. All right, the joy in the 7 o'clock hour means why this superstar is different than anything we've seen before in this town. We'll get to it next. Plus your calls if you wish to get in at 610-632-0975. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic.
It was a very active night last night on the BetMGM app, because when I saw that the Sixers had blown the lead in the fourth quarter, I stupidly thought they were going to win the game. So I hop on the BetMGM app and I hit the live line and I lost. But luckily though, I hopped on the Phillies live line and I ended up winning. That's one of the advantages you have on the BetMGM app. It's live betting options. So immediately, if you think a game is swinging a different direction, you can hop on and bet it. It's great. They also have the innovative parlay selection features, and they also have awesome daily offers like this one. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone hits a home run. All you have to do is sign up for the BetMGM app on BetMGM.com or download the app. Use promo code PatEgan100, and if you place a $1 wager on tonight's matchup, Phillies Nationals, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. You would have won last night. It's another opportunity today. And after the baseball has left the park, obviously there's no reason to leave your seat because they have all the sports. So hop on the BetMGM app or BetMGM.com. Use the promo code PatEgan100, but only if you want to win $100 when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Phillies or Nationals tonight. Either team hits a home run, you end up winning. It's only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. BetMGM Sports in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 a.m. hour brought to you by the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. Around an hour or so from now, Adam Schefter joins us. The schedule gets released tonight. Varying degrees of enthusiasm about it around the building. We'll get into that a little bit later on here.
I'm not going to watch it.
They don't have to watch it. I'm not watching it either. I can't believe people watch it. Just get it on the internet, download it. We already do know it will not be a Giants-Eagles game to start the year. The Giants will play Denver to start the season, so you can knock that one off your list,
Pat,
as far as one of the potential games.
Don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
I'm not going to watch it.
If you think of the greatest stars in the history of our city, and I'm just spitballing here, whether it was Utley or Dawkins, Lindros or Schmidt, McNabb or Rollins, Clark or Iverson, whatever names you consider that
Reggie
upper
White.
Echelon, correct. Our Philadelphia stars aren't usually described as joyous. Joel Embiid, the anti-Philly superstar. We usually embrace gruff, bland, guys look like they want to get into a fight every day, always looking like they're a little bit pissed off. Certainly not the word for joyous is for the majority of the greatest players that have come through this town. Embiid gives you a totally different vibe. Completely engaged, completely charming, comical, most certainly not mopey boy persona or a problem child. He doesn't look disinterested in anything going on around him. He loves you. He loves the energy you provide. He seems to want the pressure on himself. He loves to take a big shot. And when I heard Jamie say yesterday he's one of his top three Philly athletes right now, my eyebrow was raised. I wrote it down and looked back at it later, and I said, I think I get it now. He is quickly joining the ranks of mine. When you get there, that's where we begin the 7 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach, Eric Camille, Connor, and Mike. It's the John Kincaid Show crew here on The Fanatic. You're an hour outside of Adam Schefter or so. Jamie, I wrote it down and I said, top three of all time. And then I started to list out the guys who would be in my top three of all time. Guys like Utley, guys like Brian Dawkins, guys that I'm kicking around names, Mike Schmidt. And most of the time, the guys here, Jimmy Rollins. I'm thinking of big names that I like, Donovan McNabb. And they all seem to have that, they're a little bit pissed off. They're not really, they got a grumpy face. And Embiid is just pure happiness, it seems like.
Yeah, he really is. It's, Barkley was one of my favorites.
Charles is a great, I can't believe I didn't mention Charles.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Randall's one of my favorites. But Joel Embiid's different. And it sounds stupid when you boil it down to, like, its most basic level. He makes me happy. You know what I mean? Like, I love watching him play basketball. He has a joy playing basketball that's childlike. And we all like
you
sports.
You don't see that much,
No,
though,
you don't.
In this town, especially.
Not at all. And we like sports because, I mean, let's face it, it's childish. It's a game. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. We're not supposed to view it through this terrible prism of, you're supposed to enjoy this. He makes me enjoy the Philadelphia 76ers.
Mike Schmidt was as grumpy on the field as he is in the box when they put him on the broadcast on Sunday afternoons, when the guys on the broadcast are telling a funny story or having some fun, and he says, can we get back to the game? There's a game going on. You guys are missing it. He was a grump then. He's a grump now. I mean, it's like, and one of the greatest players I ever saw and always will be one of my favorite players to ever watch.
It's like what I do on this show.
Very similar. Bob and Mike
Schmidt. Grump of the show. I mean, you know, but Bob there's a role
Schmidt.
For grumpiness,
he's,
John.
He's the grump.
Schmitty was so misunderstood, I thought, because the game came so, it looked like it came so easily to him. And Philadelphia is, I need to see sweat and blood and tears. And Schmitty was just a guy who didn't do any of that but hit 548 home runs.
Spectacular. Like, and the fielding.
He was unrelatable. His fielding was incredible. He was almost unrelatable, right? So you relate better to a Allen Iverson on the court, to a Donovan McNabb out there, to a Chase Utley, whoever it may be. That's who Philadelphia relates to, the guys that get down and dirty and you know, bleed and sweat and all. But Joel Embiid is, Jamie, you're right. He's a guy that can be maddeningly frustrating sometimes when you're watching.
Oh, last year was
and have you laughing your ass off the next minute because he is having so much fun on the floor.
Pat, I put Lindros on the list, and he's not on mine, but I put him there because he is a Hall of Fame talent that I don't think ever seemed like he really enjoyed himself that much.
I mean, he was like many great hockey players. He was robotic. They're very reserved. The ones that, I mean, arguably the most popular former hockey player is Paul Bissonnette, a fourth line grinder who's on a popular hockey podcast. But it was because his personality is so infectious.
Who?
You look at, exactly. But you look at Connor McDavid, best player in the world. He's a robot. Lindros was similar. You're right. He didn't seem like he enjoyed the game. And I think it has to do with the fact that Joel Embiid came from Yaoundé, Cameroon, and he was a twig.
Look at you.
That's right. I'm a world traveler over here.
That's really good.
Very educated. But, you know, I think he's very appreciative of how far the journey has been and where he came from.
You know what? That's a great point. That's a great point.
He said,
where do you come from? Do you come from SoCal?
Yeah.
And you make it to the big leagues? Do you come from a cushy subdivision where you grew up pampered and playing Legion ball or being the pampered AAU athlete? Or do you actually have some sort of level of struggle in your life that gets you somewhere?
He said, they just released the Sixers social media team, like a little mini film on the process, him. And he says in it, my life is a movie. Like he appreciates, you know, he's gone through some hardships, you know, coming over and leaving his family, his brother's death and all that. He said, my life is a movie. And he
appreciates it.
He appreciates what he has.
Okay, so I asked this question. I want to derail it there, Bob, but Ben's completely devoid of joy to me. When I watch Ben Simmons, I look at a guy who's going to work.
Yeah,
I look at a guy who's going to work. I don't sense any, and I don't see that energy of, this is going to be positive. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be joking. This is going to be relaxed. And I look for that in somebody in tight times to make you, that somebody's going to be able to make you crack up and laugh. Joe Montana, famously,
right,
went into, who was all
Candy.
Business,
yeah.
Went in and said, hey, guys, look, John Candy's sitting there in the stands watching us as he's getting ready to try to go and win a Super Bowl. Wanted everybody to get loose. Nick Foles starts the biggest drive in the Super Bowl when they have a chance to go try to advance the ball after the turnover.
How's everyone doing?
And he says, I just want all you guys to know I love you all. I want you to all, like, just diffuses situations. I don't see that in some of the other guys.
You bring up Ben as who you're alluding to. I'm okay with him. I'm okay with that.
And it's all personalities. It's what fuels him. Ben has to
exactly.
be Ben. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think there is an inner drive in there. I mean, we see it on the floor. We saw it last night. I mean,
he's
let's just go back 12 hours ago. I mean, my God, he played a great game last night.
I think
both offensively and defensively.
22.
He has this inner drive that a lot of us don't see because it's not worn on the outside. And I'm fine with that. Look, I was I had my dad ask me one time. I was playing in college. And he's like, are you having fun out there? I said, why? He goes, I've never seen you change expression on the court.
So sort of like us when we leave a meeting with Bob.
Yeah, exactly.
So your dad identified
resting Bob face.
But I mean, you know, the outward stuff of Joel Embiid, I love and I adore. I think there is a drive to Ben Simmons that we don't see outwardly, but if you look at it inwardly, first play last night offensively when he turned to Mike Scott and said, concentrate. If he could have cursed him out right there, I think he would have. I love that about
Ben
Simmons.
It's so wrong, though, and I'll raise my hand. It's wrong that there's a bias in my head that I look at the guy who does it like the quiet assassin. And then I look at Joel Embiid, and in my head, I'm saying, man, there's the guy who's bringing the energy, having the fun, and I'm not respecting the quiet assassin enough.
Yeah,
I have to respect it more.
He's more Kawhi-like.
Yes. Like, Kawhi's a freak of nature.
Yeah. Watch Ben Simmons sometimes on turnovers or something like that when he sprints and comes from behind and will deflect the ball from a guy who just made a steal or something. It's not something big. It's not an outward, look at me. It's just an inward, damn it, I let the ball go, and I got to get it back. And he's nuts that way, and I love that inner drive that he has.
He was fantastic last night.
I thought he was really, really good last night.
And 20 points, seeing the two in front was really, really nice. That was a very, very nice thing.
Yeah, I think Embiid has eclipsed Iverson for me. And a lot of people are probably going, whoa, ho, ho. You know, because Iverson had this town in the palm of his hand for a decade.
He wasn't the professional Embiid is.
No, not at all.
Never was.
And he doesn't share it either.
Yeah.
Correct.
But Iverson didn't share. That's how important Embiid is to me. Like, he is that good. He is on a Barkley level.
Hey, you can switch up your routine with Wawa's delicious and crunchy breakfast and lunch paninis. Choose your favorite, like Southwest Turkey or a Chipotle bacon egg panini, available now at Wawa. I was told once, Bob, that though Iverson looked like he was having fun on the court, that really didn't project to him making other people have fun. Is that fair? That's sort of how it was described to me.
How do you mean? People didn't like playing with him?
That he was having fun on the court, but it didn't necessarily mean that the other four guys playing with him and his teammates were having fun, the fun that he was having.
Yeah,
Is that fair or unfair?
I don't know, definitively. I would imagine it's tough to play with a guy like Allen Iverson, you know, if I'm another player. Aaron McKee was probably the best thing that complimentary piece that Allen Iverson ever had, both on and off the court. He understood Iverson. His game fit with Allen Iverson, but you know, to play with him probably wasn't easy, but the joy you got out of it was the success that the team had.
Let's see what Aaron and Cherry Hill has to say. Aaron, good morning. You're on the Fanatic. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, buddy.
So I'm listening to what you say, and it sounds like a fairy tale, the way you're describing Embiid and Simmons. I've actually had contact with both of them, and Embiid is a fraud compared to what you're saying.
Okay.
Right? Like, he is not a friendly guy. He's he just,
what kind of contact do you have with him, Aaron?
Aaron, tell us more about it, because I can tell you I've heard 25 interactions that sound nothing like yours.
Yep. So I was working at a fundraiser, a nonprofit fundraiser. He was one of the speakers along with Al Horford and Elton Brand, and those two were great. Right? He shows up late in sweatpants and an old sweatshirt to this major fundraiser. He wouldn't talk to any children as they came in, and he was contracted to take pictures with sponsors. And when the sponsors came in, they took, you know, we must have taken 60 pictures. He wouldn't smile for a single picture, right?
Well, this sounds very one-sided, Aaron.
He doesn't smile in pictures.
Sounds very one-sided. He doesn't smile in pictures.
And he
see his pictures.
He doesn't take pictures with guys. Like, if you see him out and about, he'll say, like, no, nah, man, he'll do pictures with girls. But that sweatshirt he showed up in is probably like a $650 designer sweatshirt.
More importantly,
so, like, you know,
I don't want to Aaron, I'm not going to judge your personal. I would just tell you is every single bit of reconnaissance that I've done on him, where I talk to people that interact with him, a lot of national media people who interact with him, everybody has I've heard a completely differing opinion on.
Yeah.
So that's...
Oh, I'll judge Aaron. I can't believe an adult actually comes on here and says, oh, I saw him once and he acted like an ass, so he's not a good guy. I mean, grow up.
Okay, that's
seriously,
fine.
I mean, you're calling a show... I was around the guy for 4 years. Like,
and more importantly, as Aaron says, what I would just get on is, he's a complete fraud. Aaron, who I guarantee you had no depth of personal conversation with him, is going to judge the man and say he's a complete fraud.
Complete fraud who just gave out, what was it, close to $1 million to help the inner city kids?
Yeah. He might have just been having a bad day.
That could happen,
maybe
too.
Maybe he had diarrhea that day.
That could happen, too.
I'm a little irritable in those days.
The Sixers, though, this should be an investigation. This should be an investigation. Channel 6.
Why he didn't smile?
Channel 6, Channel 10, Channel 3, Channel 29. Get the news teams out. And do an investigative series on why the Sixers have so much illness around their team. What are they not doing in cleaning? What are they not doing compared to other sports? That how come we don't have random players on the Phillies being sick night to night? How come we don't have random the Flyers? He's sick, he's sick, he's sick. Non-COVID, he's sick, he's sick, he's sick. Why don't we have this? This is something. They got to clean better.
I'm not blaming this person at all. It just amazes me. They have a chef. They have a private chef in their facility to make them anything they want. And I don't know if they're taking advantage of it or what, but...
I'm telling you, for young athletic men to be sick that much...
I don't know what that meant.
You don't know what it means to have a private chef in a facility to make you food?
To be healthy, to be healthier, Bob.
Oh, and they're constantly sick?
Bob, I've never... Seriously, young athletic men...
Half of them probably aren't actually sicknesses.
Well, that's what I'm saying is then stop giving us the bull crap then.
Well,
just because it is an epidemic.
Like when you call out of work, again, nobody's going to question diarrhea. If you put gastroenteritis on the injury report, nobody's going to question it.
I was at a game one time and we got the sheet before the game of who was in and who was out. Tim Duncan was out. And you know why? It said old in parentheses. And guess what? They got fined.
Are they going to fine for it?
What are you going to do? You have to put something in there. You're going to put that he's got diarrhea.
Hey, you may not always you may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, please choose our friends at Bradford White. They will take great care of you.
We can eliminate one Eagles game. There's been one little leak for week one. It's not going to be the Saints.
And it's not going to be the Giants, we already know.
Yes. I want them to play on Thanksgiving.
So it's not
Saints
the Giants.
Packers week one.
It's not the
Detroit
Giants. It's
Thanksgiving
not the Saints.
Is all I'm rooting for.
Hold them in your back pocket, Jim, as we get them all together here.
That's it.
Joe in Philly joins us on the... Joey, how are you?
Good. Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
What are you up to, buddy?
I'm just on my way to work.
That's good. Stay two hands on the wheel and keep listening.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, so... that guy just called in. He kind of annoyed me a little bit.
He should have. He annoyed Bob and I too.
Listen, you're going to judge a guy off of one time for, you know, a charity event that, you know, he showed up. First of all, you're lucky he showed up.
I bet you the charity did better off having Joel Embiid there than not.
I'm sure. And to call in and you know, say that, honestly, that guy's just a loser at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, he sounded angry. And more importantly, too, he sounded so angry about the sweatpants. By the way, there are sweatpants that cost $600.
Joel Embiid was not rolling out in Kirkland brand sweatpants.
That is what the brand, I saw the story where what does Ben Simmons like to wear? Ben Simmons likes these sweatpants, and I looked at them. They were $475, $475 that are like, I guess they call them dress sweatpants. There is no such thing. It's contradictory.
Oh, okay.
Dress sweatpants.
I have a pair of Costco brand sweatpants. No, but if they're Sean John, they'd be great.
No, they're high-end sweatpants.
No, I have a pair that's designed to look like pants. And now they don't, by the way, but they're sweatpants.
The pictures with Ben? Ben looks damn good in them.
Yeah, these joggers these days.
He looks damn good.
I'm sure Embiid's sweatsuit he was wearing was worth $1,200 or $1,300.
And more importantly, Aaron, they're not for you. They're not for you. The $500 sweatpants are not for you. They're not for me. They're not for Joe the plumber down the street or Bill the school teacher. I mean, seriously, Pat wants to wear them. They dress sweatpants.
That's part of it.
I mean, look, Ben Simmons, I see him in pictures. He looks damn good to me, man. Look, he looks like he's put. Who? And by the way, who cares? Why are you worried about him wearing that?
Yeah, I'm all for it. You should look how you're supposed to look. If you're going to an event and you dress sloppily, I'm not saying Joel Embiid did.
Right, don't dress sloppily.
I can understand saying, oh, man, that's a bad look. But then to equate it that he's a fraud?
He's a complete, fraud.
Complete fraud. Aaron brought up an event. I just can't believe an adult would make a phone call like that.
He doesn't smile in pictures. Like, that's just part of his personality.
To defend Aaron a little bit, to defend the caller, a little bit.
Okay.
It is a buzzkill when you're looking forward to meeting a local celebrity or something like that, and they end up being kind of a jerk. And
you're an adult.
You're an adult. Why are you, like, I mean, seriously, that's what I don't get. If you're a little kid, Pat, I get you.
Well, Aaron seemed irked that he didn't interact with the children much.
Right, and he's trying to say that first of all, there's not supposed to be, you don't know any details of that event.
No, I don't.
And one thing I can tell you is, too, there's a lot of times where you get these people to agree to do an event, and they haven't told them everything they want them to do.
Sure.
And they say to you, can you come to this event? Can you say a few words? Can you pose for some pictures? And then when they get there, they're like, oh, by the way, could you do this? Could you do this? Can you do this? I have seen this with athletes a million times.
It's for the kids, John.
And they're like, could you also do this? There's some kids here. By the way, my kids are here. Could you take a picture with them?
For the kids.
It's a lot of times the old bait and switch goes down pat. Hey, we want you there. I got to wonder, though, who wounded Aaron in a previous life, though?
It just cracks me up. Look, I don't mean to come down on Aaron, you know, or whatever. I think it's ridiculous, his phone call. But it just makes me laugh that adults expect things out of professional athletes. Like, I asked him to take a picture and he said no. Okay, you walk around daily life and have somebody ask you 50 times a day to get a picture and an autograph or one, and you're trying to eat a meal or you're just trying to take a walk with your spouse or whatever it may be. As great as it would seem to us, trust me, I've seen it all my life. It's kind of my professional life. It's kind of annoying sometimes.
Hey, if you want to get in with us, you can share a thought. 610-632-0975. So we finally are moving into an area in this city where the rest of the country has been moving much quicker, but we're getting there. Could the Sixers be getting there to a huge degree sometime soon? We'll get there next. Stay with us, won't you? Adam Schefter, coming your way at 8:10. Don't miss it. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. As a cancer survivor myself, two times over, I know that cancer research funding is critical because every dollar counts. So we announced Friday that the American Association for Cancer Research is now the official charity of the John Kincaid Show. If you've been touched by cancer directly or through someone you care about, can you join me in working to help defeat these diseases? Because together we can help accelerate scientific discoveries that are going to benefit patients, going to benefit families by making a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today. Donations from private citizens are going to add up, believe me. And there are big breakthroughs that are saving lives. Almost 17 million of us are walking the earth today as cancer survivors in America alone, thanks to the AACR. And it's more than 48,000 members worldwide driving that progress. So join us. Donate today to support the scientists and doctors who will discover the next breakthrough. Let's give hope to cancer patients and their families. Donate online right now at AACR.org/fanatic. That's AACR.org/fanatic, because cancer is going to touch your life at some point, and cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show, again brought to you by the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. I don't want to get off the rails too much with this, but there was a lot of interaction with our lively crew on the YouTube chat. I'm looking at my own social media, and people are just, why are grown men asking for autographs or asking for a selfie with a male athlete? Is this a thing? Is this a thing? I mean, where people, because it seems like people are very offended by the idea. I'm a little surprised. Asking for an autograph, I don't do it. I've never done it. So I don't grasp that. But I also, I guess I can sort of understand it.
The last picture I took with an athlete was probably Brian Dawkins. And it was at FanFest, and he was up in the VIP room.
That's different.
And I was like, well, that's one of my all-time favorite football players.
Completely different situation.
Yeah. I enjoy
it. What about on the street? You're walking down the street in Philadelphia.
I probably wouldn't ask for a picture.
Would you ask Brian Dawkins on the street, hey, B-Dog, can we take a selfie?
I'd probably just be like, yo, B-Dog.
Right.
Something like that. If I saw Joel, I'd be like, yo, Joe.
Bob, would you never, I'd imagine you'd never ask.
No.
Autograph, picture, anything you'd never ask. No.
I've never been that guy. I was always the kid that kept his head down. I was always the kid that didn't, I don't want to say I didn't idolize, because I did, but as, no, I just was never, no. I mean, they're human beings.
Pat, you do that?
I would rather have an autograph than the picture. But same with Jamie. The last time I got a picture with an athlete was probably Dawkins at FanFest.
Okay, expound a little. It's bit. You'd rather have it.
I'd rather have the. I think the autograph's cooler.
I think an autographed item, like either a jersey or a ball or a helmet or something, is pretty cool.
Like, I'm not going to get.
Do you think that's Joel cooler Embiid's, than a picture with Joel Embiid?
So I'm not going to get Joel Embiid's name on a napkin. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I don't get autographs at all.
But if he threw me a game jersey and I was in the front row and I got that autographed, like, I would frame that and hang it in my basement.
Yeah. Like, I think that's cool. But I'm also not a big picture guy. Like, I think too many people get pictures with celebrities to do the forced FOMO. Like, look who I met. Look like it. Look who I met. Aren't you jealous? And that's annoying to me. Like, if I saw Joel Embiid on the street, I'd do the same thing as Jay. Hey, what's up? But I'm not asking him for a picture.
All right. Well,
I would rather do something that they remember as opposed to what they can do for me that I'll remember. Okay, so let me put it this way.
You tell a joke?
No, like, I told you, Springsteen was standing next to me at a concert and I didn't know it. And somebody asked me, if you did know it, what would you have done? Probably nothing. But if I had done something, and this is honest to God, what I would have done. And I know he wouldn't have been able to accept it, but I probably would have gotten two beers. And said to him, like, look, I don't want to make a big deal here, but you've given me a lot of pleasure through the years with all your concerts. You know, thanks. And handed him a beer.
And quietly done that. That's See, I would have no problem.
I would rather him remember, oh, wow, that was a nice guy from Philly bought me a beer one time.
That creepy guy bought me a beer backstage. And he roofied it.
He wrote a whole album about that interaction with Bob.
Thunder
Road.
You know, Egan says getting an autograph and stuff like that. My whole thing was, and okay, call me what you want to be.
I get it.
Why? What do I do? Pat, if I go over your house, oh, wait, hold on. Look, I got an autograph here. nice.
I just think it's cool to have.
Yeah, I think it's cool to have. When I was a kid, I used to write teams.
I don't understand it. But the thing is, though, I don't. There are other things I don't understand that I like or somebody else might not like, so I don't knock people for it. I don't understand it at all.
As a kid, I used to literally send teams. I remember I got Nettie Jones autograph back from the Lakers. I used to send teams to the PR department, and chances it found the actual athlete were slim, but occasionally you would get something back from an athlete, and it was like the greatest day ever. Like, really? Eddie Jones signed a card or something. I forget what it was. I lost it over time. Wow. But, like, getting that back in the mail as a 10-year-old for this Temple kid that I idolized, like, it was awesome. So it kind of sticks with you, I think.
Yeah. It's funny. I told you guys a story before. Wilbert Montgomery was playing basketball on the court that I always played on. You know, it was an outdoor court where local athletes went or whatever. He came by one day, or a couple of days, and we were playing on the court. And I was about 12, 13, and he liked the way I played basketball. I never said anything. I knew it was Wilbert Montgomery. I just played the game.
So you didn't acknowledge that it was Wilbert Montgomery?
In my head, I knew who he was, and I thought it was cool that I'm playing. No.
Really?
And then one day after we got done playing, like, he saw me go through these woods to go home, and he said to me, he goes, "Dude, where do you live?" And I said, "Oh, I live, you know, back through there." He goes, "Let me give you a ride home." And him and Charles Johnson, who was a nose guard at the time, they put me in a convertible car, and I got to sat on the seat in between them up in the air, and they drove me home because they were just, I guess they appreciated.
Can you drive by this girl's house real quick so I look cool?
I mean, maybe they appreciate, and maybe this is what stuck with me, that they appreciated a kid that didn't, "Oh my God, you're Wilbert Montgomery." That just, okay. I was there to play basketball and have fun, and that's what I did. I don't know. I don't know why I have the mind frame that I do, but that's why
that's why we're all different.
Exactly.
Though. The one thing I've learned, though, is in life as I've gotten older, because it most certainly has changed, is the idea that what someone else is into as far as their hobby or their, it's just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that it's right. Not great. What'd you get?
Bob, I just got an autograph. To Bob, you're a real home run, Pat Egan.
Oh.
I know.
That's going to make his
day. That might go up in the,
Pat, that's going to make his day.
Yeah. I don't give those out, Bobby.
Hey,
hear you.
That's not making my new man cave, but it is nice, though. I didn't get one from Egan.
It might, yeah.
Hey, discover the benefits of a K-12 public cyber education. Commonwealth Charter Academy can provide your child or grandchild with an education in the safe confines of your home at no cost to you. Inquire today about fall enrollment. Visit ccaeducate.me today. The safe confines of your home. We are not responsible to be there anymore because, thankfully, we are opening things up. We will be at 50%. The Phillies will be at 50%. Sixers will be at 50%. June 11th. Again, if all continues to go well, June 11th, we could get back to where it's literally normalcy. And
yeah, the Phillies can sell however many tickets they want for that Yankees series beginning.
Correct.
Which will be, I would imagine, pretty close to a sellout.
That'll be awesome.
If not a sellout.
I would imagine it would be.
I think it will be.
I would think it would be with people getting out.
Especially the magnitude of the Yankees series.
I think that's Father's Day weekend, too.
Oh, boy.
That's
a sellout.
The 20th. Yeah. Father's Day's the 20th, I believe.
I think it's the 19th and the 20th.
19th, 20th is Saturday and Sunday that weekend. So that'd be awesome.
So I got to make my tea times.
The one thing I knew is last week when Connor and I were at the game, we know all the zip ties were removed off the seats. I knew it was coming because and I'm looking and I go, okay, it's not just this section, it's that section, it's that section. They had removed the zip ties from almost every single section that you could find in that lower level. So we're finally getting there. And this just feels to me, I'd love to figure out some way that even as an audience, as a show, in a small way, we could do things to just help bolster some of these businesses that are trying to get back on their feet. The restaurants that are now going to be open, now that they get to have some sort of a normal existence and everything.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to try to hit, I always try to hit mom and pop places.
Yeah, absolutely.
And stay away from chains. The chains can always sustain these things much better. So I love the mom and pop shops, but I'm going to try to really.
Yeah.
Do this.
Me and my wife are doing a date night in town this Friday or Saturday night.
Is it dining week though? Isn't it?
Oh,
did
is
you get it? Did you
no,
get it?
It's not part of the restaurant that we're aware of. It might be, but I don't
get a reservation.
I don't like. I'm not
you
really
don't like
into
what
restaurant week. I'm not into it.
No. But I'm just saying to you, it is restaurant.
Oh yeah,
week,
so we have a reservation.
So make sure you get
a
reservation.
Really,
I always
good
thought
place.
You were going to say you're not into reservations.
I know.
Oh, no.
So that's weird.
My wife is, she handles all that, scouts the menus, all that stuff.
I
just roll in blind and roll with whatever's good.
I'm back with the girls this weekend, and I said, I was so excited this morning, and I said, oh, because I had forgotten I wanted to get into Il Giallo, one of the really nice Italian spot. And I'm like, ah, I forgot. And it's Wednesday morning, and but I got one. Thank God. And I was like, geez. Because I just all week long, I'm thinking, okay, that's where we're going to go. And I hadn't made the reservation.
Right. But so you got in. You're
restaurant
good.
Week. Get in there. Restaurant week. Be sure to support these restaurants and bars. And it's so...
It'll be nice to stand at a bar again.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, like, some of these... Like, I went to a fast food establishment place that'll remain nameless recently. And you go in and they had it, like, mazed off. And then you all end up standing in the same area. And I was like, what the hell are we doing? This isn't preventing anything.
And guess what? That's not science.
Just like
that's
tables at the bar, but you can't stand at the bar. What the hell are we doing? This makes no sense.
Thankfully, we're following. We're slow to it, but we're following and we're catching up.
I went to a key party recently. And we all had to wear masks.
A key party at the mass?
It was stupid. See, it's like, this isn't preventing anything.
You had the pineapple flag out the front lawn.
The White Rock.
The White Rock.
Apparently, that's another sign.
I've not heard that.
Oh, what's the White Rock?
It's part of the whole pineapple.
That's your part of the swingers.
That's another one. Yeah.
The pineapple flag. And then I had to freak out my neighbors and say, other neighbors, they were like, no, that's not the case. And I'm like, okay, why do they have a pineapple flag on Friday night? And they don't have the pineapple flag out Sunday night. And then they're like, one of my neighbors still to this day goes, you absolutely ruined those two couples for me. You ruined those two couples for me.
All of a sudden, there's no parking on the neighborhood street.
Now when they come to the pool, she looks at them differently because the pineapple flag's out. And I'm like, the pineapple flag's gone.
Patty Ian showing up.
Is there? Are you showing up for that?
I've got a case of Mountain Dew. Let's party.
I could see Egan showing up.
Are there other, I don't know the other... You know, little tricks of the trade. The White Rock, I had not heard.
That's my nickname.
If you're ever in Alpharetta, in Georgia, put the walk around the supermarket as a couple with a hand carry basket. Stick it inside a cart.
Oh, that's a sign?
We had the listeners give us they gave us every single one of the codes.
Oh, how about that?
Go on a Friday night or a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And go bring the basket, put it inside the cart, and don't have anything in your cart.
And you just walk around.
Just walk around, and then you'll
just
meet
put out the vibe.
Wow.
That's the message going open for business.
That's how I met my friends Tracy and Mike.
Literally and figuratively.
So a couple.
It's exciting to see everybody get back. And for all the people, too, now being able to get back to making money, you know, the people that work on game nights.
Yeah.
The game night staff, the restaurants, the bars, everything. Just, you know, patronize as many of these businesses as you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's gonna be so nice to see people. It's going to be so nice see people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Bob, you had something in Cooney's Corner that you wanted to talk about last time. That you think there's something missing about this Sixers run we're about to watch.
Well, I think it's going to be a really fun run. I really do. I think we're kind of just coasting here to the end, and we're nitpicking at different things, and rightfully so. But I think it's going to be a really good run, because winning's fun, and I think they're going to do a lot of winning. But I was thinking last night that there's just one thing missing.
What is it?
A rivalry. And a couple of years ago, when the Sixers started to get good, the Celtics were getting good. And Anthony and I talked about it. We were texting back and forth. We're like, as much as I hate the Celtics, wouldn't it be great if they're good and they have that rivalry again, Sixers-Celtics? And, you know, you started to build up a little bit of hate for Brooklyn, I guess, when the Sixers played them a couple years ago, but not really. Miami... Nah, they're just a team that keeps changing over. So, but there's no rivalry. Who's the rivalry? I mean, the Nets are the team we talked about all the time because they have the three stars. But that hasn't built into a rivalry yet, right?
No, it's not a rivalry yet.
You know, that's so much fun to me.
If it's a rivalry, it's contrived.
Milwaukee's
completely
not
contrived.
You know,
Giannis did add a little fuel to the fire.
He
did do the sit down, and he has done some things.
I hope he remembers that.
So maybe that'll turn into, because that's what my question was going to be. Who has the most potential to become a real rivalry for the Sixers? Is it the three stars in Brooklyn who are going to be there for a little while? Is it Giannis and Milwaukee because of him, you know, winning a game here and then sitting down on the floor? Is there even a rivalry? I don't know.
I mean, if you end up facing the Heat in the second round, I could see that getting a little heated. I thought the Celtics were going to be then they fell off, unfortunately.
Well, they're injured, too.
But they stunk even when Jaylen Brown wasn't injured. So Milwaukee's probably it, but I think that Miami second round game could be, because now what's
don't
that?
Don't speak it into existence.
I'm not afraid of them. I'm also not playing in the game. So
Eric Spoelstra. You should be afraid.
Jimmy Butler can't shoot. What am I afraid of?
Be very afraid.
Duncan Robinson getting hot?
That gap is closed with Doc Rivers coming here.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to avoid coaches. It's a playoff series. I want to avoid certain coaches.
I mean,
I would much rather go up against, I would take anything to see it be Charlotte, Atlanta being your two steps to get there. I don't, Tom Thibodeau. I don't think
if Brett Brown can outcoach Nick Nurse in a series, I'm not afraid of Eric Spoelstra versus Doc Rivers. You know what I mean? Like, we have an MVP candidate.
Nick Nurse coached that travel at the end of that series,
though. the Heat don't scare me.
Okay.
Jimmy Butler's.
Write down those words.
Yeah. Put them in an envelope.
I'm leaning on Jamie's side.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. I'm leaning on Jamie's
side.
Write
down those words. We'll get into that more tomorrow. But it's that is interesting. I would say, to me, is rivalries are created, Bob. First of all, I agree completely with your premise. But rivalries are created by events, by a certain, look, the Sixers-Celtics thing, they were both really good teams. But a physical confrontation that involves Larry Bird and Julius Erving
heightens it.
Then that carries for decades.
It creates that incident. Russell Chamberlain carried rivalry for so long.
So will there be something that happens with one of these ascending teams this year that the Sixers face that ends up being something we're talking about for the next 4 or 5 years?
I don't think Milwaukee respects the Sixers. And I think that's a good starting point for a rivalry. If it's going to be a playoff-only rivalry, I mean, you play them, what, 4 times a year?
Yeah.
It's hard to get a real good rivalry going in the regular season. But if the Sixers feel as though Milwaukee doesn't respect them and they end up facing each other in an Eastern Conference Finals, look, Milwaukee's going to be together for the next 2 or 3 years easily. So are the Sixers. That could really turn into something.
I'll tell you, Coach Boosenholder does not. He has that San Antonio arrogance. He's not Pops. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's Pops. He's not Greg Popovich, but he thinks he is. And I guarantee you, he has no. He looks down his nose at the Sixers.
Yeah,
guarantee.
I got that vibe from them,
point blank.
And look, Embiid missed what, at least 2 of the 4 games versus Milwaukee this year. So
he'll say all the right things, but he's got that San Antonio arrogance to him.
Well, do you remember the ownership group a couple years ago, unsolicited, took shots at the Sixers saying, well, you know, we prefer to win, they prefer to do the process. And it was like,
this was coming off
like a 10-win season or something. It was like, well, pump the brakes, all right? Like, you're Milwaukee.
Wouldn't
you haven't
that
won
be
anything.
Fun, though? Giannis and Embiid would have a chance to be an epic, talked-about rivalry, talked-about situation, but you need playoffs to have this.
Yes. And you can brew one up pretty quickly.
Absolutely,
sure.
Yes.
It could brew pretty quickly. Yeah,
you could be in a series that doesn't have one, and by game 3, you're deep into it.
Yeah, I mean, you get Ben Simmons going on a drive to the basket,
and PJ Tucker takes him out,
and somebody does a two-hand shove to the side of their chest. Yeah, it's on.
I
look forward to that. Not to the pushing. I really do. I love. Right, I look forward to that. So I really do hope it's the only thing missing in this playoff run in the back of my
mind.
Sports
are
right
better
now.
With enemies.
Yeah, exactly.
No question.
Enemies.
Hey, beers with Bob
bring
tonight.
Them all on.
No, there's friends.
Oh yeah,
beers with Bob is a friendly event.
Oh, it's a great event
tonight.
Is Tunis graduated from rat status?
Tunis is no longer the rat.
Okay, all right.
He's been, and I've been told by the two ladies in my house that is off limits.
What's that?
They're Tunis fans.
Tunis has a lot of female fans.
They're Tunis fans. So I've been told to cut it with the rat. He is not the rat. Yeah. I mean, he's held in high regard in our
house. Usually handsome men are more likely to be rats than the ugly guys, right?
Yeah, but guess what, though? They don't. Snakes. I will tell you that the women in my house do not care. They're fine. They'll take the villain. They'll take the villain. Chunas fan.
I'm a Chunas fan.
Jamie, I can't believe you're missing OTAs.
Yeah.
And this is, by the way, Mother's Day. There's always OTAs leading up to Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's usually like this week.
It was last week. It's right around this time. You're missing OTAs?
I'm not missing like the practice updates and stuff, but
I hope you're not missing
it's,
that.
It's the spring like little itch. Like seeing the guys get together in shorts and pads down at the center, seeing the rookies in there, you know, meeting the new guys. It just gives you a sense of like, it's gonna come back soon. And I miss that. I miss seeing them. And it's clear players don't like OTAs. They don't want to do OTA. At least the veterans do. And I was curious, is it ever going to return to the way it was? Because this NFLPA is going to...
Yes, because the agreement is just starting.
Okay.
This goes back. Yes, because the Players Association, the agreement they signed, is just starting. This is just the beginning. This thing goes for many years.
I was hoping this wasn't going to be like one of those, we've done it for 2 years without it, so let's just...
Oh, no.
I like seeing them back in the building.
Coaches are going to want them back in the building.
I want a little clip of Devontae Smith running a route.
By the way, they gave them three more days...
Stupid,
they
but
gave
I,
them
I
three
love it.
More days off, I think, because of the 17th game.
Yeah.
I believe players got one more week of away from facilities during the offseason... And I think they got three more days where they're not in pads or something because of the 17th game. So there's always give and take. If the NFL wants to go to an 18th game, Jamie, you may see less of it.
Yeah.
Like there's always give and take.
Sure.
The owners gave up something. I don't remember the exact details, but they gave up some practice time, gave up some time where players are allowed to be away from the facility.
Yeah.
These guys work like beasts for the most part anyway.
Yeah, they do. I just like seeing them together. You know what I mean?
They're getting together. Most of the good teams, they get together. I just don't like... I can say I don't like the... Well, the passes are very crisp this morning. And he completed 9 of 11
yeah,
passes.
Yeah, I don't need that crap.
Oh, my God.
Show me a video of Devontae Smith in an Eagles shirt and shorts walking out on the NovaCare field.
Okay, yeah,
and
I get you.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, football's going to be back.
I get you.
I hate him.
You would.
I hate him.
Why would you hate
I
it?
Love how I say I hate him and Jamie. Oh, you would because
no,
I just agree
you
with
you.
You're a hater. We're 4 months away from actual games. I don't need this ridiculous. They're practicing in shorts.
I like the idea though. Is
hate
what,
it.
Where he just got me though, what, Pat. I tend to be more towards you. Like I don't really need to see it. But where he just said about seeing Devontae Smith in an Eagles jersey
walking out number 6 with
there is
the shorts.
There is something about that that just gets me excited.
The only reason it doesn't move me so as much as you is because that means I'm throwing away summer. And I'm not throwing away summer. So I don't want to think about the fall until it gets to the end of summer.
It's your in between the season and season.
I get accused of that by people. That I look too far ahead as far as like towards
I love summer.
Towards football. Oh, God, summer's great.
Yeah. If I could just get in a time machine and fast forward to the actual meaningful games, I'd be fine.
There you go.
Haven't you seen the movie Click, Pat?
You can do those things. All right, we got a lot coming up for
fast
you.
Fast forward. Documentary.
We are going to tell the tale of 2021 a few years from now. What is it going to sound like? And did this event give the Sixers everything they've gotten in 2021? We'll find out about it next. Plus, Adam Schefter at 8:10. Don't miss it. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You know we all love our pets. Rhonda here at the station has a gallery up of all of our pets. I love seeing Nikki Foles when I walk in because I miss my dog. You know, they're part of our family and they bring us joy. Well, Pets Plus Naturals knows this. There are dogs right now at all Pet Plus Natural locations ready to be adopted for your loving home. And for the next few weeks, Pets Plus Natural wants to hear from you. Check out their Facebook page and put in a post. Let them know why you want to adopt a dog. Then one lucky winner, and Pets Plus Natural will pick them, picks up the adoption fee. Pets Plus wants every dog to be adopted to a loving home. And their mission is not only to help you take care of your dog in the healthiest way possible, to ensure they're around for a long time, but to find happy homes for all the dogs that need to be rescued. You may know someone who recently lost a dog or a family that would love and cherish a dog in their home. Tell us about it. Go to the Pets Plus Facebook page. Let them know. They'll choose one lucky family to adopt a dog of their choice, and Pets Plus will pick up the adoption fee. This is awesome. Go to PetsPlusNatural.com. See all they have to offer. I'll see Nikki Foles on Friday.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We so appreciate you being a part of the family here. And the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. We are minutes away from Adam Schefter joining us on the show. Jamie is going to work on some opponents here that we can eliminate for the Eagles opener, which would appear to be a road game because the Phillies are at home. So the assumption is that it would be a road game. So we're thinking a road game. So that would narrow it down to the 9 road opponents. Then you can eliminate some of those opponents because there's already a leak of CBS's week one.
Yes.
Who would be some of the, if you just went down the road opponents, do you know who we can eliminate?
The road opponents you can eliminate so far are Carolina, Washington, the Jets.
Okay.
And the Chiefs.
And the Chiefs. Okay. So right now, you've eliminated 4 of the 9.
Yes. Wait,
Chiefs are a home game, are they not?
The Chiefs are a home game.
Chiefs are home week one on CBS.
But he knows they're already playing week one.
So it's right. Browns so, yeah, at Chiefs, yeah. Okay. Which is an open, so there, awesome opening so
that means,
game.
So that means there are 5 road games that it could be.
Yes.
If you believe that it looks like it, there's 5.
So it could be the Giants still. It could be the Raiders.
No, the Giants can't be.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Giants are gone. So it's 1 of 4 then.
The Raiders are alive. Cowboys are alive. Falcons are alive. And Detroit's alive. That's it.
Okay, the Raiders game could be the opening game.
Wow. That'd
be freaking awesome.
I don't know if Las Vegas is ready for that.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
A bunch of Hoagie Mouse taking over the strip.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be absolutely great.
And this is how great the Daily News is, or now Inquirer, whatever, and Eddie Barkowitz, that they broke down all the opponents. Last night they put it online. It's in today's paper.
Okay.
Broke down all the opponents in games where they're going to be. And then one of their sidebars was a, what?
It's out. Zach Berman's got it. Opening game. You want it?
Yes. It's not Vegas.
It's not Vegas. Well, John, if you want to go back to where you live for 25 years and watch Kyle Pitts'
opening
debut game.
At Atlanta.
At Atlanta, 1 p.m. September 12th.
Okay. Opening game. That's good. That's
look,
good.
Atlanta's tough in the dome, but
they always lose there.
Win.
That could, we're not doing the win and loss game.
That could be a winnable game.
It's a winnable game.
Yeah. Sure
it's winnable. But,
1-0, baby. Let's go.
Even when the Eagles are good, they don't tend to play well there. It doesn't make any sense, but it's the way it is. Adam Schefter joins us in like 5 minutes. I want you guys to, you know what, I actually want to hold this. I actually want to hold this because it takes a little longer to get into than this, but I'll give it to you here. The week before Thanksgiving, the 2021-76ers season began to take shape. The team traded Al Horford to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They unloaded his contract and a few draft picks and received Danny Green in return. That flexibility allowed the Sixers a day later to add Seth Curry and 2 days later to add Dwight Howard. So in a 48-hour span, you lost Horford, and you added Danny Green, Seth Curry, Dwight Howard, which helps lead the Sixers to the top perch in the Eastern Conference. When we look back and tell the tale of 2021, are we going to go back to that week leading up to Thanksgiving and realize that Daryl Morey just feasted on the competition, no pun intended, Thanksgiving week, and that the Al Horford unloading to Oklahoma City is what caused the Sixers to go from being the third or fourth favorite team in the East to being the Eastern Conference champions? Bob? I mean, I looked at all the dominoes and how they fell because I forgot some of the order that things went down in.
Yeah.
Are we going to look back at Al Horford being gone as being the biggest thing that happened to this team in that offseason? That helped build 2021?
Yeah, I think so. The fact that they were able to unload that contract and the fact that you were able to bring pieces back that this city has been clamoring for years. You need shooters, need shooters, need shooters, need shooters. And Daryl Morey comes in and basically, you know, takes a towel and rings it and boom, there it is. It's pretty phenomenal. Pretty phenomenal. Getting Dwight Howard, terrific move. Their offseason made what they are right now. We can talk about the step up of Embiid, and then that's obviously a huge play. But the way they addressed this roster and what they added and took away from, it's the story of the offseason. No question.
Embiid might not be taking that step up if he doesn't have the spacing that Danny Green and Seth Curry give him. It changed everything. To think that they got an expiring contract, championship caliber player in Danny Green for Al Horford is mind-blowing in hindsight.
That was
worth every penny of Daryl Morey's contract just to get that done.
I still can't believe that they did it.
I can't either.
I can't believe, but then again, I couldn't believe that the Sixers, and I guess Elton Brand gets the blame for that, ever wanted Al Horford.
Yeah.
And paid him what they paid him.
I believe there was some
stupid money.
Analytics guys that are no longer here that were driving forces behind the Horford signing.
Is that giving Elton cover?
No, I mean, it's not an excuse, but I don't know if Elton was the driving force behind the signing. I think maybe he went along with it. But it's not an excuse.
This terrible contract. That was a terrible contract.
It was a 3.5-year terrible contract.
Terrible contract, yeah. Terrible move.
I would still like to see another coach try to make it work.
I wouldn't. I'm good.
I think I saw 7 or 8 years of Al Horford. I have no reason to ever.
I'm good.
I didn't want to see any of it. When I saw him be a Sixer, I'm like, are you kidding me?
I think it could have worked a lot better than it did, obviously.
Oh. Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Check it on out. The whole 17-game season is also throwing me off.
Yeah, that's weird.
The non-symmetry of it.
Yeah. It's going to be 18 next year. Who are we kidding?
No. It has to be 17 next year, they said.
Oh, it's 2 years.
It has to even out.
Right. The home and road. All right. So in 2 years, it'll be 18.
So in 2 years, it can be 18.
Yeah. The non-symmetrical aspect is weird.
Just gives you the little bit there. Not bad, though, with, if you say, Zach Berman first to have it there.
I believe
Zach
so,
Berman,
yeah.
With the Eagles opening at Atlanta. That is a...
Devontae Smith versus Kyle Pitts.
Not a bad matchup. If they put Devontae Smith on Kyle Pitts is going to have a great day. It's going to have a great day.
Yeah, I don't think he can physically match up with Pitts.
Why are you going to put Devontae Smith on your defense?
Oh, he might be your second best cornerback.
He could very well be.
We don't know.
They don't have a second best
cornerback. Yeah, he could play center field for the Phillies for all we know.
By the way, gentleman was asking, I don't remember who it was asking, are we still committed to getting the new a Devontae Smith jersey? We were committed to getting a Chase or Pitts jersey is what you and I were committed to. I'm getting a new jersey because I don't have one. I don't know. I think Devontae Smith will probably be it.
I think he'll be the top-selling Eagles jersey by about week 3.
I think Dickerson's going to be a big seller.
Do you?
Yes.
If he's number 69, yeah, it'll be a big seller.
I think he's 62, isn't he? At 62.
He was 69 in Bama.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if that's the number. I think you can look and see.
Was Matt?
I think you can look and see what the number is there.
It was John Runyon, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah. If it's Matt Pryor, get lost.
You know, what do you think you're going to say? Get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. You're not 69 material.
You can't have that. You're not allowed to have that number.
He would say that to him, like walk up to him and say, you're not 69 material?
Well, that would make for a very uncomfortable conversation right now.
Hopefully that's not the first conversation they have.
Oh, my gosh. So we'll get more from Adam Schefter, who will join us here coming up as we have a chance to catch up with Adam on the Comcast Business Hotline.
Yeah, prior 69. Get out.
My name's Adam.
You think they're it? Pryor's been here.
No, I know.
Come on now.
But Dickerson's he's a better fit for 69.
I don't know that they're going to let you.
Well, you can always buy these things.
You can. You can go buy them. What's Bob?
What I'm just saying, looking Bob? At the Fox schedule.
You getting
schedule
more information?
Here. Oh, you got the Fox schedule.
The Fox schedule's out too, yeah.
Ooh. What, for week one?
Yeah.
Well, we already know, 1 o'clock.
Right, I know.
Eagles Falcons.
I'm just
so let's go to it.
Get some more.
Here is Adam Schefter joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Don't just bounce back, bounce forward with Comcast Business. Adam, we already got the news from Zach Berman that it is going to be the Eagles opening at the Falcons.
Yep.
In Atlanta to start. Yeah.
Yep. Interesting matchup because you wonder, first of all, whether Julio Jones will be playing for the Atlanta Falcons in that game. It'll be Kyle Pitts' NFL debut. And then, obviously, Philadelphia unveiling all its talent that day, all its new talent. And, you know, it's a tough matchup in this sense. Arthur Smith takes over as the head coach of the Falcons. And so there's not a lot of game film. And I know you could say, well, they'll go back. Of course, they're going to have to go back and put together all the Tennessee film from last year on its offense. But I always think that when you're a team that gets a team that hired a new coach and is installing new systems with new personnel, I think that's one of the toughest games to prepare for.
Does always. when you have Sirianni, though, in the same situation, right? I mean, yeah. does that sort of balance out?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same thing there when you go over to the Eagles side of the football. So both teams will have a challenging time getting ready for that game. Like I said, to me, that's always very difficult. And Atlanta will study the film in Indianapolis and try to draw conclusions, but you're trying to draw conclusions with Phillip Rivers playing quarterback as opposed to Jalen Hurts playing quarterback. I mean, what Nick Sirianni is going to do on opening day at Atlanta is going to be totally different, I think, than what he did in Indy. And
yeah.
So, yeah, good luck to the Falcons defensive staff that day trying to get things together, and good luck to the Eagles staff trying to get things together against Arthur Smith. It's going to be very tough.
Yeah, and Adam joins us courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. Download America's top-rated sportsbook app now. Now, Adam, I don't think there's any doubt in any of our minds who the Eagles' Week 1 starting quarterback is going to be. But when asked in press conferences, the Eagles haven't really said, yeah, it's his job. They've said it's a competition. Do you believe it's actually a competition?
Well, I think they're saying that. I mean, who's the other quarterback? Right? I'm just trying
Joe
to
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, right, right. I mean, yeah. Listen, the coach says that, and you know, you just have to see. Like, there's still unresolved quarterback situations in the league. There are just situations floating out there. What's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? What's going to happen with Deshaun Watson? What's going to happen with all these guys? What's the fallout of that? How does that impact their teams? And so, yes, as it stands today, they will compete, but I think that Jalen Hurts wins that starting quarterback job. That's nothing revolutionary. Everybody, I think.
No, not at all. But I just found it interesting they haven't committed verbally to him.
Well, but that's a new coach trying to install his culture and change the culture and make sure it's how he wants it to be, and nothing's going to be handed to anybody. Plus, you know, as much hope as they have for Jalen Hurts, I mean, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. Did he do anything the first year that you say, oh, he's locked in as the starter, we're not touching that spot, it's his job? I mean, that's
when Joe Flacco's the door behind door number B or whatever it is, I think you have. And that's just
I like Joe Flacco. I like Joe Flacco. You know, I think he's a good quarterback. But I think Jalen Hurts is the guy that's going to be the starting quarterback, win the starting quarterback job. You know, if it's Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco, you know, we all know where that's going.
Good. So, Shifty, where do you think Aaron Rodgers does wind up? You hit on it just a little bit, and there's been talk in this city about, do you go after a guy like that? And do you think he's going to be back with Green Bay, or percentages more favorable to him leaving?
Well, to me, there's 25, 26 teams in the league that should be making a run at Aaron Rodgers. The problem is right now, Green Bay has been very stuck in its stance of, we're not trading Aaron Rodgers. And if they ever come off that, I just don't think that they're going to trade him in the NFC. I think they're going to move him to the AFC. I think they're going to want him at a conference if they budge off their stance. Now, how it's going to play out, I mean, that's the question that right now
is the most significant question in all of football. And so, with that being the case, you know, we'll see. I don't think you'll see him at their all-season program at all. And then we start to get towards training camp, and then the question is, does he show there? That's where it gets interesting. Until he says, I'll be there, I'll see you then, or he shows up, then it remains a question. If he shows up and that's it, yeah, okay. It goes away for the time being.
Do you put any credence into the discussions that media members are floating out there that the Eagles would be the perfect match to go try to get Deshaun Watson if Houston wants to move him? Because there's mathematically no way they could do it this year. So it would have to be next year, because there's no financial way that they could ever pull it off.
Well, on Deshaun Watson, and again, that's another one where nobody knows how that's going to come out, right?
Right.
I mean, we don't know what's going to happen legally with him. And I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know what the league's going to decide. I don't know what's going to happen legally. Hold on a second, guys.
Breaking news.
Give us the Eagles schedule, Shefty.
Dun, 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 dun. He's reading a tweet. This is exciting. Adam's reading a tweet. There's something breaking right now.
He's got to go.
Okay, no. I'm just dealing with one of my bosses.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers to the Eagles is not breaking right now. Just so we get that clear, correct? All right, yeah. He's got that. Okay, good. We know that one.
Adam, if you had are you good?
Yeah, well, I'm dealing with something, but go ahead.
If you had to guess, is a large majority of the schedule going to be leaked before tonight's special on air?
We see week one, right?
Yeah.
Being tweeted out.
Yeah.
So, there you go. We see week one now being tweeted out.
Yeah, I mean, week one's out. We have the Fox schedule. We have the Fox schedule. The Eagles have even, announced.
And the ESPN first Monday night game is Ravens at Raiders.
I think, Adam, you sound like you got to deal with something, though. And we understand.
Yeah, let me call you right back.
All right, do it. Adam's going to deal with that. And how is Adam join us there again?
Courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. Download America's top-rated sportsbook app. So I have the full week one schedule here. Would you like it?
Yes.
All right, so Thursday.
Give us the big game.
Thursday Night Football opening game, Cowboys at Bucks. So Super Bowl champs.
That's a great game.
That should be fun. Dak at Brady. You got Steelers, Bills, Jaguars, Texans, Jets, Panthers, Vikings, Bengals, Cards, Titans, Chargers at Washington. So there's a good chance Washington's going to have a tough game there week one. 49ers at Lions, Seahawks at Colts. So your first look at Carson Wentz is going to be against Russell Wilson. That will be interesting. Eagles, Falcons, Broncos at Giants, Packers at Saints, Dolphins at Pats, Browns at Chiefs, which I think is going to be a great game. And then your Sunday
is Aaron,
night.
Is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback of the Browns, or is the.
Yeah, we'll see. Sunday Night Football is Bears at Rams. Interesting. You get Justin Fields on Sunday Night Football.
I'm interested in seeing
that. Yeah, and then the Monday night game, as I just said, Ravens at Raiders.
Okay.
Some decent games. A little lackluster at times there.
Oh, I don't have any problem with that.
I mean, it's football. I don't care either. Just smack me in the face with it, but
I like that. What do you think? What do you think Adam's dealing with there?
Maybe schedule release stuff from his boss.
Like, you know,
you're getting beat here, Adam.
A little speculation.
Start leaking.
I wonder about that. Are you getting when? I wonder. Do these guys get ridiculed by their bosses when? Hey, wait a minute. Why is Zach Berman?
Yeah.
Getting this. Why is this person getting this?
Yeah, he might say, hey, start leaking.
Start leaking.
Yeah.
Anything you know,
you
start
have
leaking.
It.
Because I guess there's counter-programming from the executives who want the primetime special.
But that's the other thing, is they have the special, so do you want to leak
before the special? NFL Network or ESPN?
NFL Network and ESPN.
Yeah,
no, they both do.
Adam's hands are probably tied a little bit. You can't, what's the point of having
and they
the
will
special?
Have, they will have their analysts saying, stupid, hitting right there going, let's play the one loss game.
Hey, Jeff Saturday, what do you think about this?
There's Jeff Saturday. Well, that one will be a loss, and then I think they come back with a win the next week. the dumbest exercise that goes on in the history of sports media. Let's predict. We're going to do, and tomorrow we will play our own game. Instead of that, I've got various things that we can do that are just as mindless tomorrow on the show. We will have.
Oh, you're getting trash talked from Atlanta.
Oh, I know. I'm already. Brian Finner's hitting you up. Yeah, Finner already put it out there. Yeah, we'll have it there. Adam's back with us. Adam, we appreciate it. We should expect the Deshaun Watson stuff. Would it shock you if he ended up an Eagle because of their draft capital next year?
Well, again, no one knows where he's going to go. I think his future in Houston is murky and clouded. Okay? And so, how is that going to resolve? Look, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, of course you'd want to be interested in Deshaun Watson. Of course you'd want to be interested in him.
Okay. That didn't tell me anything. Right? I mean, if you're looking at teams out there in the NFL, I mean, obviously Howie Roseman's been known to be a mover and a shaker, right? Roll the dice, guy.
Yeah, okay. Again, you're going to inquire on everything, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. You're going to do that, right?
Right.
Every time. So, again, to me, you have to look into all those things. If Deshaun Watson is going to be moved from Houston, why would you not do your due diligence and check into it?
Okay.
They just don't have the money that they can come even close. I mean, it's almost a moot point. But Shefty, when the schedule thing, we John talks about how it's so stupid to do the wins and losses.
The
win
loss game,
and you know we look so forward to it here in Philadelphia. What do you look for? This sounds silly, but when the schedules come out, what do you look for as far as what interests you in scheduling?
I always look at week one. I always look at the primetime matchups. I always look at how the season opens on Thursday night. What is the Thursday night opener? I still haven't seen it.
The opener is Dallas and
Cowboys Tampa. At Bucks.
Cowboys at Bucks. That is a great opener. Spectacular.
That's a great opener. Yeah, that to me is something that we all can look forward to. Dak Prescott back, high-powered offenses.
There you go.
I think that's a great match.
There you go. Adam, we appreciate it, buddy, and have a big night tonight, all right? We'll be looking for it.
You got it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam Schefter.
And thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook.
That was like trying. Now I know it's like
disheveled.
Yeah, it was a little disheveled.
Yeah. I think Adam had a lot going on this morning.
Yeah, he's got stuff. Yeah.
Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. As my bride says to me, they can see your face on TV. As she can read my face as to like how annoying that is. Is that look, you know, sometimes people are a little distracted.
He's a busy man.
Some people are a little distracted.
Hey, you get a text from a boss sometimes.
Exactly. It can throw you off.
As long as it's not a call me text.
Oh no.
Those are the absolute worst.
Or let's meet afterwards.
Yeah.
The Phillies and the Nats last night, we've got some thoughts on that one for you. Plus we're getting excited. The schedule release is coming. We got more on that, too. It's a John Kincaid show here on The Fanatic. I want to tell you about my friends at Window Nation, because when it comes to cost and quality, you never have to worry about it with Window Nation, because they've got you covered with savings. You can compare their windows to the national brands. They're going to give you the same, if not better, quality. But how do they do it? Well, they do it with extreme measures. How about this? Like measuring each window three times to ensure proper fit. And after they install your new windows, when the installation is done, they're going to leave your home cleaner than it was before they got there. And right now, how about this deal? Get two free windows for every two that you buy. Plus, no money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. So we're talking about 2 years where you don't even have to think about going to your wallet, and you're improving the quality of life inside your home and the street value of your house, because it's going to look so beautiful. Two free windows for every two you buy. No money down, no payments, no interest, 24 months. This is a spectacular deal. Call 866-90-NATION or do a little window shopping online at windownation.com. When you call them at 866-90-NATION, tell them John Kincaid sent you, because Window Nation's the perfect fit.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This is the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Appreciate you being a part of the show. You are always welcome to join us at 610-632-0975. I will just tell you because I just have to, and I don't. Obviously, I'm being told that I don't do a good job of hiding it. It's Adam. And I read some of the our YouTube comments too. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. That sucked. That was terrible radio. And I'm sorry about that. That was freaking terrible radio.
That probably sucked.
And that was terrible. Absolutely terrible. And we ask you to spend more time with us, and we ask you to, we value your time. We value you as an audience. That was freaking horrendous radio.
I'm not okay with that.
And I'm not. Just being honest with you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And as I've been told, now look, it's sort of like a resting Bob face. I've been told quite a few times, my wife will say, you know, you can see your face. So you can see your displeasure.
My resting Bob face is getting a bad...
People love it, but people love it, though. It's become a thing.
But it's not a
yes,
thing.
It
it's
is.
Something that you guys have contrived.
Do you have a Bob in your office that at your weekly meetings or at your Zoom meetings has resting Bob face?
Yesterday, at one point in the meeting.
Send us screenshots.
I think Coach has a picture of it. Bob was like this.
Bob, you looked yesterday like you were puking.
You're on radio, you know, and you just
on YouTube.
Like
on YouTube too.
YouTube people. That's why people should go to YouTube and check it out. You were like this, just hunched over, looking like you were puking in a trash can.
No, I have a bad back, so I was stretching my back.
Out. Okay, that's good.
Is that what we're calling?
I don't know.
I'm just gonna look. I'm not good at I'm not good at sugarcoating stuff, and I'm not good at I'm not gonna blow sunshine up your skirt. That was terrible. We appreciate your time for listening. That was absolutely awful radio. That was not that, and it didn't make me happy.
Now, reading text messages to yourself while...
Put the damn phone down! Put the phone down when you're talking to somebody! Put your phone down! Put it down!
What should he do?
It's not too hard to put your phone down when you're talking to somebody. Nothing worse. Oh, yeah, I'm listening to you, but I'm on the phone right now, and I'm texting to somebody else, or I'm talking to somebody else. Put the damn phone down till you can take a call. You're on a phone call. Put the phone down.
What should he do with the phone?
Put it down.
Okay.
I don't know. He's Adam Schefter. He's got to have that phone all the time.
There's nothing. It's not worse. It's the worst thing in the world. You're trying to discuss. You're trying to have business meetings with people. You're trying to talk to people. And they're like, yeah, I got you.
No, I hear you. I got you. I'm texting now, but I got you.
I'm on the phone. Yeah, I'm on the phone. Put the freaking phone down. For God's sakes. It's not that hard.
Seems like you want to put the phone down.
Pay attention. Pay attention.
Pat, I don't think you should watch the schedule release tonight. I don't think it's suited for you.
Don't watch it tonight.
Yeah, just don't watch, Pat.
Don't watch it tonight.
Put the phone down.
Oh, my God. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to just pay attention. To be present. To be present.
Believe me, I had it stiff.
Whoa. Mike.
What the heck?
Now, Mike.
Coach is personal. Annoyed. Look at Coach's face.
Mike's live mic is really an interesting little feature of the show.
I got tweeted. Was that from yesterday? Because I got tweeted about 10 times at 3:23. Mike said I got it stiff.
You got to pull that.
And I was like, I'm not pulling that, but I hear you.
Oh, that is good.
We're getting off the rails here.
By the way, we've been told there's a Bob in every office. Michael says there's a Bob in every
office. Lucky offices. That's awesome.
It is. You are a lucky person to have around. The strange thing is that Bob is extremely positive.
I'm a happy-go-lucky guy.
No, but I think you're extremely positive.
Sure I am.
And you are very consistent.
I'm like a mushroom. I'm a fun guy.
You're very good.
Oh, that's a good dad joke.
Okay, how were you thinking about the Phillies game last night, Bob? Because it was more interesting than trying to... The fraud effort that we got last night from the Sixers even trying to win.
Yeah, I thought it was cool because I love the situation. I knew we were going to talk about it today.
and I'm diving into my brain like, all right, what would I do here? What would I do here? I would have.
Bases loaded.
Bases loaded. Nobody
top
out.
Top of the six.
You're up. Was it two or three nothing?
Once you have three nothing.
It was three nothing.
It was three nothing.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, I know how good Anderson was pitching, and I'm sitting there thinking, what do I do? And then I don't know if it was on Twitter or wherever I saw it, that what he does in the sixth inning, as Jamie alluded to earlier, he has no outs in the sixth inning yet this year. And when teams face him the third time around, they're hitting like 700.
Exactly why I pitched
so,
that.
And this team, but then I go back and I'm thinking to myself, I can't even decide here sitting on my couch because the bullpen hasn't been tremendous lately. And what do you do? What do you do? And Joe Girardi has 30 seconds to decide. I would have pinch hit though. Ultimately,
so
I would have. I would have pinch
Jamie,
hit.
Jamie, you
for
felt
him.
The
yeah.
same way, right?
I
you
tweeted it at the time. Yeah, hit. Look, this team's biggest issue right now is runners in scoring position and tacking on runs because you have still inept bullpen. I have Alec Bohm on the bench with the bases loaded, an opportunity to tack on two runs with a single. Yeah, I'm pitch hitting there. Considering Trey Turner and Juan Soto are due up next inning, you know he's on a short leash. I mean, it's not a capital offense. I'm not outraged by it,
yeah,
but I thought it was a missed opportunity. It's annoying.
15, it's certainly what I would say is, Pat, is that one starter for the Phillies this year, other than Chase Anderson, had gotten 15 out of 16 outs. Yeah. And it was Zach Wheeler last week in a complete game. I honestly would have, I'm letting the kid hit. And it doesn't seem like the move. I'm not Yankee. I'm not doing that.
I am too.
I'm letting him
but
hit.
But if you're on the fence about it, which obviously Girardi was, because he gives up a home run, then he walks Juan Soto. He's not walking Kyle Schwarber who's hitting
correct.
My weight. He's walking Juan Soto.
A guy who walks quite a lot.
And other than that, he's cruising. So then you yank him because you have such a quick trigger with the I need to get to the bullpen. It's like an itch. What are you doing? At that point, Jamie's right. If you had, and you knew that you were going to have him on a short leash, then just pinch hit him.
Yeah.
Because in that situation, what was going to happen? Like,
if you're that on the fence, absolutely correct. You should have.
Nothing told you that he was wavering, struggling. And if he got them into the seventh, then they probably don't waste Coonrod. Now, Coonrod, Alvarado, and Neris are done for today.
Okay, let me go back to where we were at before. The idea of that we said show confidence in a Vinny Velasquez. Show confidence in pitchers by giving them a chance. When they're showing you they're doing good, stick with them.
I had a buddy text me that last night.
I believe in that. And last night, that was a hell of an effort.
I just don't think Chase Anderson's earned that right yet. I think if he goes out with five scoreless and retires 15 to 16 batters, that's a small baby step of confidence.
Better than any starter gave you all year, including Aaron freaking Nola,
but he's recorded,
who I'm constantly told is an ace.
Zero outs in the sixth inning so far this year, and as Bob just said, his stats the third time through a lineup is horrifying. So,
but his first five innings were nothing like any five innings he pitched all year. So, I mean, again, I know what analytics will tell me. It was a different night. It was that night.
I'm more concerned about the offensive aspect of it.
And that makes sense.
Because they have not been able to tack on runs at all this year. And Alec Bohm's sitting on the bench with the bases
and that
loaded.
That makes sense.
And he's one of the guys that can get a barrel on the ball.
This is one of those ones where I completely will argue one way, but I totally understand the other point.
Yeah, and that's what took me over the top, what Jamie just said. And John, it ties into what you said. You want to see what a Chase Anderson can do, what Vinny Velasquez can do. Like, let him go a six.
Yes.
My overriding point that took me to the side of pinch hitting for him, I would rather see what Alec Bohm would do in a bases loaded, nobody out situation, because Alec Bohm's going to be here for years, than Chase Anderson, how he's going to carry. So that was just my feeling, why I would have gone for
they
it.
They all make sense.
Yeah.
Both points of view make sense. And the fact that this offense has not put the foot on the throat of people except one game, Friday night, last Friday.
Yeah, right. They need to do it all year long.
We haven't seen that.
And look, I think everybody's guard is up with Girardi right now. Like, people are real. Look, he still hasn't had a full major league season with the Phillies squad so far. Like, he's still pretty young in his career. But I think everybody's antennas are up with him. So any move that is questionable or 50-50, people are going to go, it worked out for you last night, Joe, but we got our eye on you.
Yeah, but I mean, now you need Wheeler to basically do
exactly
what you
need seven
in last
plus
week.
Tonight.
Because you've just burned. You don't burn your bullpen in game one of a series.
That's another reason
why you don't. And he does this over and over again.
But you do expect to use your bullpen when it's a Chase Anderson game.
Yeah, but you don't expect it.
Okay, but if he's giving you what he gave you last night.
Last night,
the whole argument of he hasn't recorded an out in the six. I mean, he barely got an opportunity to last night. If he gives up another hit or a walk after that, fine. But to walk Juan Soto, like, that's normal. Like, this was a dumb move. It's like pulling Zach Eflin in 6 2/3 when he's cruising to just go to Coonrod. Like, he manages like a little league team.
Hey, protect your home with Dri-Tech waterproofing solutions. Fanatic listeners get 15% off when they mention Mike Missanelli. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, you can trust the experts at Dri-Tech, DriTechCorp.com. Okay, I've just been asked by a former colleague says, is Schefter on the list? Is he on the list? He's not on the list. But today he's on the list. Today,
come on, man.
Today, no, you're on the list today, Adam.
That pissed me off.
Well, I'm sorry, pissed you off. That pissed me off worse.
I'm sure if Adam's reflecting back on that, he's probably not thrilled with himself.
Saying that was freaking terrible. And you know what he just did? He just tweeted out about the Cowboys Bucks game, which he heard on this show.
Where's our credit for breaking
out? Did he say that? He heard it from us.
I guarantee.
Wait a minute. No. Adam Schefter just tweeted that the opening about.
So we're his news source.
He got that from...
Look at us.
He got it from you.
Yeah, we're insiders.
He should have said, per Jamie Lynch of the John Kincaid
Show. Who read it from,
That's what he should say. Who got it from.
Yeah.
Who got it from whatever. I mean, where's
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Where's the attribution on this?
Yeah.
But that was what was so desperate.
I think his boss definitely was like, yo.
Hey, why aren't you tweeting about Dallas? You know, 70 freaking other people are tweeting about it. You better pile on that bandwagon. My God. Bob Cooney wants to celebrate a number today. I like this.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
All right, we like to talk about number shows that we do and how long we've been together so far and all. Today's the 93rd show. 93rd, John Kincaid Show. When I bring up the number 93 and I ask you about Philly sports, what do you equate it to?
Well, it's the most, absolutely most out of nowhere thing in my fandom of my entire life that ever happened.
Is that where you were going?
I can remember exactly the room, the TV, where I was sitting, all the ugly, hideous couch my parents used to have, watching Joe Carter break my heart for my first time. Because I was 12 years old. I was right in the groove of, like, becoming an obsessed sports fan. And even then, Jim Fregosi, why the hell are you bringing Mitch Williams
now
there?
Now, the weird thing is, though, is he goes negative.
I love that team, but that was my first heartbreak.
See, I hear 93. It is overwhelmingly positive. It is all the feels of a season where I must have gone to 35 games at home.
I had a
season ticket planned for a third, and I went to more. And so the joy of that season was special, even though they were a miserable bunch of individuals.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
They were miserable.
The only reason I go negative is because it was the first time I learned what, like, sports heartbreak was.
Sure.
Joe Carter ripped my heart out of my chest. I didn't cry, but I wanted to cry.
Maybe it's because I already had 80.
Yeah,
I already had 80, so 93 didn't hurt me the way it hurt you because you had no reference. You didn't have 80.
Yeah, and as a young kid, I mean, Jamie is 12 years old. Jamie wasn't realizing at 12, like, wow, that team was in last place last year, first place this year. You're just there for the ride of it all. Yeah, I was kind of along with you, John. I was just along for the ride. Like,
this
is interesting. They go to Atlanta. They do what they did there. I was at game 6 and they won here.
I hated the Braves.
Screw Atlanta.
Yeah.
Terry Pendleton, Otis Nixon, and that ugly Skeletor face. Oh, I hated that
Skeletor
team.
Skeletor face. Was Javi Lopez the catcher?
No, he was later.
That was 93. Was 93 catcher was, was it Charlie O'Brien?
No one cares.
Yeah, I don't
Charlie
know.
Charlie O'Brien, maybe?
It's interesting. Egan, when I brought up the number 93, was that what you first had in mind?
No, Peter Nedved, obviously.
Javi Lopez was on the squad in 93.
He wasn't the catcher.
Yeah, it was Greg Olson, it looks
Greg
like.
Greg Olson.
But Javi was a young buck pup. On that team.
Young pup.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was... Because we've talked a lot about the Sixers riding 0-2 lately because Earl won because of what they're doing this year with the number one seed. That may have been because of the surprisingness of it. Right, John?
It was the
that, was one of the funnest rides that sports rides that this city has ever had.
It was absolutely the best ever, I think. I think it was the absolute best ever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it very, very well could have been because, of, like we said, because of the surprise. Worst to first. You don't see that.
Hey, beers with Bob tonight. You don't see that often, too, right?
Every week, 6 to 7, me and Andrew Salchunas. We'll be talking FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll be talking some lines and see if Andrew, he won $4 gajillion in on a bet that he had a couple weeks ago. So we'll see how he's spending it.
One of my favorite things is when great businesses in Philadelphia jump onto the John Kincaid Show. And it happened all because of the hard work of our own Pat Egan. And we present to you Pat's Takes.
With or without, either way, it's time for Pat's Takes.
Brought to you by Pat's King of Steaks, the inventor and creator of the cheesesteak sandwich. Always open at 9th and Morton and PatsKingOfSteaks.com.
Now, Pat.
Hello.
I have to get hungry every Wednesday now?
Pat, that's because of, that is because of you that Pat's King of Steaks, one of the most prestigious businesses in this town, jumped on this segment. Make it as damn good as they've been. No pressure.
Don't screw this one up.
We welcome Pat's in, and we can't wait to have some Pat's food drop.
Absolutely, and kudos to my parents for naming me Pat, because without them, none of this would have been possible.
It wouldn't have worked.
Yes.
Unless they named you Jim or Marty or Smith. You never know what it would have been.
You've got a long way to go to meet the original
John,
Pat standards.
Joe, Billy. Yeah.
Can we move on now?
Yes.
Well, just don't screw up.
Thank you. We're in the middle of a pandemic. There's not a ton to do. So when Castaway comes on TNT for the millionth time, you're going to end up getting roped into seeing Tom Hanks create fire and talk to a volleyball. But then the wheels start churning in your head. What if? And that's the way I like to believe the next story started. Truth is, I have no idea why a few college kids in California decided to create a makeshift raft and take it out to sea, because I like to believe that two guys trying to further their education didn't just get bored. But there was, you know, probably some inspiration, who knows? But basically, these two jagaloons seemingly went to a Home Depot with $45 and bought two kiddie pools, plywood, and a bunch of buckets. They made the makeshift raft, and the good thing, it actually worked.
It did?
Yeah, that was the good thing. The bad thing is the tide took them out to sea where they had to be rescued. Yeah. And, you
when
asked what the hell were they thinking, they just simply said,
I saw that going differently in my mind.
Yeah, now, you might be thinking that these two Rhodes Scholars were probably partaking a little beers with Bob that you can hear tonight. No, shockingly, they weren't. They weren't drunk.
Really?
They were just drunk on ambition, not alcohol. They were completely sober, just idiotic.
Okay, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
What body of water was this? Did I miss that?
The Atlantic Ocean.
The Atlantic Ocean. That's a big one.
Yes.
And it'll drag you out. That'll drag you out, as you know.
One. Not as big as the cheesesteak you can get from Pat's King of Steaks, the inventor and creator of the cheesesteak sandwich. Always open on 9th and Wharton and PatsKingOfSteaks.com. We'll move on to a local story, just like Pat's Steaks, local here. Former Eagles legend Brandon Bear is many things. He makes a pretty decent margarita. He's a subscriber to Sports Illustrated. And now you can label him a hero. If you've been living under a rock, let me inform you who Brandon Bear is. The Oregon Duck played two seasons, very memorable, by the way, with the Birds from 2014 to 2015. His 1.5 sacks are good for 141st all-time on the Eagles franchise list. Look, guy's a stud. But after his playing days, he got tired of being bombarded by fans for pictures and autographs. So he moved to Idaho in an attempt to keep a low profile. And he was doing a good job at it. But just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean you can't be a great human. Bear came across a truck that was crushed by a train and it was on fire. And to make matters worse, you know, that's probably a pretty bad combination. Against everyone's advice not to go towards the vehicle, Bear went full on Superman, ran into the burning car, rescued the driver. He truly saved the guy's life, because there's no way the fire department would have rescued this guy in time. So kudos to
that is amazing,
former
though.
Eagles legend Brandon Bear.
And I think that is that's a selfless individual. We like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you guys remember him at all?
No.
No. I remember the name.
Yeah. I remember the name.
Yeah, that's about it. I'd like to believe I'd do the same.
I think of Bob Bear, because I knew a Bob Bear once. So I was thinking.
I don't know if I could stand there and watch somebody just die like that. I'd like to believe I would do something.
I would like to believe I'd be heroic
in
that situation, but I don't know if I was being warned.
Yeah, if my wife was like, you know, don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bitch, so I don't know if I would either. Okay, final story.
You said it, not us.
You just thought it. I agreed with you. As people all over the world continue to battle the COVID-19 virus, some people are looking for a cure. Most people elected to wear a mask, use hand sanitizer, get a vaccine. Some people elect to use hydrochloroquine. That didn't really work, but hey, you know, A for effort.
Don't be rude.
Well, geez, Don, I didn't name names. But all of those attempts were local. In India, they're trying something different.
cow poop.
Dookie?
Yes, dookie. In select regions of India, they've taken the bold strategy of rubbing cow crap all over their bodies in an attempt to combat the disease. Because the cow is considered a sacred item, or a sacred, you know, animal, I guess, in Hindu religion.
Not a tasty item, even though.
They
grilled up the right way they are.
They put the crap all over themselves. They then worship a cow, and then they wash the poop off with milk. Usually, these types of people walk in the shadows, but in this case, it's really easy to figure out who's attending the poop party.
I smell shit.
Oh, my God.
Shockingly, this isn't working at all. Scientists say not only does it not work, but it could cause other diseases. Oh. They're recommending this trend doesn't hit the states. COVID, however, well, COVID disagrees. When asked to comment on the trend, COVID said it's staying far, far away.
It smells like a turd covered in burnt hair.
So COVID wants no parts of it. But don't rub crap on yourself.
Pat Egan.
Is that the moral of the story? Don't
it's
rub
not
crap
gonna
on
work.
Yourself.
Bob, it's not going
to
work.
Pat, no? You're an inspiration to many. And to Pat's King of Steaks, we appreciate you putting your name and being a part of the John Kincaid Show. And many great companies have been jumping on board, and it's great, and we welcome you all. We will find places for you, and we appreciate all your patronage and everything like that. So, love you. Thank you very much. We have a lot coming up in the final hour of the show, including I'm going to ask you all to play a game with me. Not a game time, but a game. A philosophical game. Top of the hour. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You know, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app can be your official on-the-couch, well, riding shotgun with you. Anytime you're watching sports, the in-game play-by-play betting is absolutely fantastic. The options, amazing and endless. And it's backed by the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania, the Parks Casino Sportsbook. Right now, they've got an incredible offer of that risk-free bet of up to $500. So, you can bet it all. When we get to the NBA playoffs, you know that every single night you're going to be watching whenever the Sixers play and whenever the teams that affect the Sixers play. And so why don't you use some of the expertise that you think you've got to be able to make yourself a little cash with futures bets, player prop bets, and more. New customers get that risk-free bet of up to $500. Use the promo code Fanatic when you download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. Bet with the home team. It's my team. It's the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com.
The fridge could use a Bagster.
Oh my gosh. It's atrocious.
Wait, right. What happened here?
The fridge opened up.
Right?
You opened up the fridge.
Yeah, to get my half a
okay.
Half.
Okay, he opened up the fridge and this overwhelming smell was wrestling me to the ground.
Oh.
It's horrendous.
Yeah, that's bad.
What the hell's going on over there?
People put stuff in and then never take it out.
We're talking about other people's fridges skeeve you out.
Yeah.
When I see someone open up their fridge and it's stacked, like, I mean, there's no room.
Ours is out of control right now because we have so many leftovers from the party.
Absolutely, like, freaks me out.
Why?
Yeah, other people's fridge skeeves me.
Like I'm saying,
what? Other people's refrigerators skeeve you.
If I see somebody's fridge and they open their fridge and it's like, stacked to the rafters, there's like no room. You couldn't put something as big as this binder. You couldn't find a space to be able to put it in their fridge. I'm like, oh my gosh, what the hell?
I'm due for a fridge clean out.
They have somebody's head in their fridge?
Yeah, I wouldn't eat out of somebody else's fridge. If they're cooking a meal for you, you know it's like fresh and...
God rest her soul.
Yeah,
Betty's fridge, my mom's fridge, looked like something out of CSI. Because if she went to the townhouse in Media last night, reopened, awesome, was fantastic. She went to the townhouse one night, then she went to another place another night. She's got leftovers that she's bringing home, and God knows if she's ever going to eat them.
That's what Thursday nights
stacked,
are for.
And it'd be stacked up crap. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, Thursday night's leftovers.
Leftovers are lunch the next day for me.
Okay.
But you guys were talking about going into other people's fridge and house.
Not going into.
Well, that's what Jamie and Anthony were talking about. I'm like, who the hell's fridge?
Like, if I was hanging out at your house for 5 hours and you were like, help yourself to something in the fridge, I'd be like, I'm good.
I'm good.
Get out of here.
Can we call DoorDash?
Yeah. Are you serious?
Unless it was a package string cheese.
I'm not asking you to get yesterday's meatloaf.
Like Coach's fridge? God knows what's in there. That's probably terrifying.
There's
nothing in his fridge.
No, there's magic spoon in his pantry. So you just go get the magic spoon out of the pantry.
Like Coach would have expired milk or something, you know?
Coach, what is in your refrigerator edible right now?
Zima.
That's not edible.
Wine cooler. Seagram's wine cooler.
Bartles and James.
Bartles and James.
I have some crab stuffed tilapia in there.
Ooh, that's good.
And I have some salmon.
Is that leftover?
No, it's from a place around the corner from me.
Okay.
Some cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese and jelly
on toast is one of the best sandwiches ever.
Oh, my God.
God.
Hot dogs,
Hot dogs.
You eat them raw, right?
For lunch.
You're such a health freak and you eat hot dogs.
Low carb, low fat.
They're one of the worst things you can put in your body.
No, hot dog.
I beg to differ.
I bet a dietitian will call up and completely disagree with you.
Well, if a dietitian calls up, I'll hang up.
We can have an official dietitian. All right, we're gonna play a little game here in a second, but could I just have for a little help, could we have three or four phone callers? Just call up to play a game with me at 610-632-0975. I just want to tell you, I got nothing to give you. I have nothing to give you here, but I want you to just participate in something with me, just to prove a point, if you would, in just a few moments, if you could. So if we could just get a few people on the line at 610-632-0975, you will be forever in my debt. I want you guys in this show to rub the bottle that you found along the beach. You were walking on the beach, whatever your beach of choice is. You found the bottle on the beach. I want you to rub the bottle.
Did you know Christina Aguilera smells like hot dogs?
I did. That's
a really good tie-in. It's a fun fact.
Well,
look at that. Our worlds are colliding.
So the genie comes out of the bottle.
Huh?
And the genie comes out and he says, Bob, I've got something to give you. And you say, I want $100 million. And he says, no, I can't give you that. The only thing I can offer you is one thing. A one-day Philly sports do-over. One sporting event, one trade, one outcome out of an event. But if you change that event, you change the course of time for your franchise and the fan base forever from that point. Maybe for the long-term good, maybe for the worse. Would the one-day do-over be worth it? So tell me the one day, the one outcome, the one decision you change, and then tell me how you play it from there. I'm going to go first here. I'm walking, let's say I'm in Sea Isle, and I polish the bottle, and here comes the genie, and I say to the genie, if I get a one-day do-over, I'm taking you back to 2003.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles are hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the last game at Veterans Stadium. Instead of the abysmal loss that they took, they're going to win that day. They're going to advance to a Super Bowl where they would have absolutely buried the Raiders. The Raiders were horrible.
Rich Gannon.
They would have won a championship that year. And instead of what we found this time when we won a Super Bowl here in town, that core was in its prime. They go to two NFC title games the 2 years after. So they go back again and maybe win. I'm going to say they win the Super Bowl that year. They go to two more Super Bowls and win one of the two. So in 2 of 3 years, they win a Super Bowl. Andy Reid works his magic. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He's now Grand Poobah of the franchise, still coaching here. The Patriots never become the Patriots.
Wow.
Because the Eagles have taken the win away from them against the Houston year. Then they take another one of the years. Tom Brady is a great quarterback, but not the same.
So
I like it.
Yeah, you've won championships.
I like it.
That's my do-over. And the NFL is not only changed forever, the perception of the Eagles franchise has changed forever. Multiple Super Bowls. That team was in its prime. They win that Super Bowl. The next 2 years, they were in the NFC title game. They go to at least one more, maybe two more Super Bowls, win another. The entire story of the Philadelphia Eagles is different. Do you have one? A one-day event?
I certainly do.
What is it?
June 22nd,
More recent than you.
Okay.
And with the first overall pick, the Philadelphia 76ers select Jason Tatum, University of Duke.
Okay.
You have Jason Tatum on this team as opposed to the debacle that Markelle Fultz was. John, you're going for your third title over the last 4 years this year. You have a young big three that were naturally grown, that were put together, that fall into places that nobody could have imagined.
Okay.
You are sitting on NBA easy street.
You are looking at a run like a Jordan, Kobe, Shaq.
You're talking
type
about
of run.
Three guys under 25 years old that you could just ride it with for 10 straight years and put in pieces here and put in pieces there. That would have been. Could you imagine if Jason Tatum was here?
Could you imagine if you had Jason
Tatum, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons?
Don't even get me started. The thing is, you traded out of that position.
You traded up to number one.
He was always going to take Tatum.
So stupid. Just so stupid.
I would have fleeced him like nobody's
Jamie,
business.
The bottle?
93, Jim Fregosi, do not bring in Mitch Williams. I believe
that only gets you to game 7. Though.
That's fine. That's all you need.
What?
Game 7's a wild card. Anything can happen. I believe Schilling would have gone Game 7.
He pitched Game 5.
Oh, he was 5? Yeah. Whatever.
He pitched a complete game.
Give me a World Series Game 7 in 93. Could have changed its trajectory of the Phillies for the next 15, 20 years.
Maybe they
even get a farm system.
See, I don't think that team had staying power at all.
No, they didn't.
Like, I think that team was a one-off of all one-offs.
But it didn't matter. It would have changed the culture.
That only gets you to Game 7, though. You can redo anything.
Well, I would have gone Bucks. You stole mine, so I shifted.
Oh, you did the same one.
Yeah.
You see the same thing.
Yeah.
Win that game.
Yeah.
We probably have multiple cards.
Do you remember who we took out?
Roger
Mason.
Roger Mason. There it
is. I'll never forget it because Roger Mason
was dealing.
Was well rested.
Yeah.
He was dealing, and there was no reason to take
was
him.
Was Joe Girardi managing?
Yeah, I know. Mitch Williams was taxed. He had pitched a lot that series.
God rest his soul. But Jim Fregosi did not. We had had a couple personal run ins, did not really get along with him, and then he ended up being in the Braves organization at its spring training. Literally, I just had to get asked what's the history there, and I said, "Don't even worry about it, Pat."
Well, initially, I went 2002.
Okay, so same thing.
But the other one that really like haunts me is 2011 Phillies Cardinals first round. That is by far the best Phillies team I've ever seen in my life, and they gave Doc Holliday no run support whatsoever. They got crushed by Chris Carpenter on 3 days rest. If they win that series, they're winning the World Series. There's no doubt in my mind that team goes on to win the World Series.
They were a great team. But
it might have been, too, to let the Braves win the series because they beat the Braves in the last series of the season to keep the Braves out of the playoffs, which put the Cardinals in, and you end up losing the Cardinals.
The Cardinals went crazy that year, too. So, okay. The only thing problem I had with yours and with Jamie's is that it didn't bring... Like an immediate, if you go with the one, it gives you an immediate Super Bowl berth and then a chance to win a championship against a bad Raiders team.
Winning breeds winning, though.
Well, we would have picked yours, but you stole it.
Jamie, that 93 team had no legs, though.
But if you win a World Series, then like...
Well, you just celebrate.
Like, maybe I'm not as negative as a Philadelphia sports fan as I was for many years.
All right, I asked some people to give me a favor here. So Matthew and Langhorne, you're going to be part of this. Matthew, you ready to play?
I am.
All right, Matthew, I'm going to flip a coin here. Could you tell me, is it going to be heads or tails?
Tails never fails.
Okay, you said tails never fails. It's tails. Matthew, I'm going to flip the coin again. Tell me, is it head or tails?
Wow.
Tails never fails again.
Tails failed you. Yeah, they lost. Lost here. But let's go to Scott and Malvern. Scott, I'm going to flip a coin. Heads or tails? Scott, heads or tails?
Heads, brother.
Okay, let's go. Let's flip the coin. Oh, it's tails. You lost. Sorry about that. Cameron in West Philly, can you help me here? Cameron, I'm flipping a coin. Heads or tails?
Tails.
Okay, it's heads. You got screwed there. Thank you, buddy. Okay, that was such crappy radio, and that's as crappy as, I think the Eagles are going to beat the Giants, and then the next week they come back against Tampa and they lose. Then they surprise the world by beating the Chiefs. It's the same garbage. Predict a coin flip on the air. Go do that. Predict coin flips. Oh, I think it's going to be heads. No, I think it's going to be tails. There's two outcomes, win or loss.
Well, there's ties and in Philadelphia Eagleland.
I pulled a Donovan McNabb
yeah,
there.
Exactly. I didn't know you could do that.
Hey, did Donovan there. That's very good. It's just, it's such, it is absolutely on the things that absolutely make me go, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. I'll come back tomorrow as a consumer. Billy from Norristown telling me, yeah, well, they win the Giant game,
yeah,
but then because of the hangover from that in a short week, they're going to lose to the Cowboys. Then they're going to come back later in the season. They're going to beat the Cowboys.
By the way, week two, Giants, Washington.
So you know they're off the list.
So they're off the list for week two.
Okay,
we
so here's...
Closer. You got to be
okay,
home,
wait.
Though.
So Dallas is off... So Dallas home opener week two.
It's possible.
Because you didn't play a divisional game in the first 2 weeks. I think you got to play a divisional
and
game.
And Dallas would be coming off of short, longer rest.
Yeah.
And I have something tomorrow for you about this. The Eagles get screwed when it comes to scheduling.
Don't do tomorrow's show before
I'm not.
Tomorrow's
I'm
show.
Just teasing.
No, that's not teasing.
They get screwed.
You're telling us.
No.
You're
just telling us. They get screwed a lot.
They're going to get screwed. A lot.
The league hates the Eagles.
Hey,
6-1-0.
Totally. Beers with Bob, though, is good tonight.
Oh, I can't wait. Me and Andrew Salchuna, 6-7, thanks to FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll have some really fun lines that we're going to go over tonight.
And they're going to make some money for some people, eh?
I hope so. Chuna certainly made a lot of money for himself.
Don't eat cottage cheese and jelly sandwiches while you're in. Because I just got a text that you might be a serial killer.
No, so when I was little, I told you I didn't grow up having a whole lot.
Right.
So it was either raw hot dogs, dog food, or... toast with cottage cheese and jelly was actually not bad. The only thing I didn't know what to do was what to drink with it. Because when I was little, we drank milk all the time. You couldn't drink milk with that. So it was always, and you couldn't drink soda with it.
Water.
So
water.
I did water. But yeah, cottage cheese and jelly wasn't bad.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh, grape jelly and cottage cheese.
I like grape jelly.
There is no Thanksgiving game.
Oh, it's out?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh, are you serious?
Reportedly, the New York press is saying it'll be Eagles-Giants. Eagles-Giants is Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, week, okay. Oh, okay.
So that reportedly from the New York press, that has not been confirmed yet. But, hey, you know, Staples is evolving to Staples Connect, a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com. So you can do that there. I'm going to go pull up the window here for a second here as there was one. Jim says JK and all of his rules. Believe me, I do have a ton of rules, Jim. So you're absolutely right.
We've noticed.
But to me, there's nothing more. There's nothing more mindless than they beat the Redskins and then they're going to come back and they're facing the Buccaneers. But you know what, though? Then that sets up the Chiefs game with... And I'm hearing callers tell me just spitball against the wall. Yeah, I think they win this game, they lose. It's freaking April.
Do you know the one that kind of annoys me, like with the schedule?
Is what?
The Eagles have the easiest schedule in the league, according to 2020 stats. It's like, well, these aren't the same teams, and
absolutely,
like it really has, like maybe a modicum of reality in it, but
it
like,
never does.
Teams change every year.
I'm going to steal it from ESPN Stats and Information.
I like that. They're a good follow on
ESPN
Twitter.
Stats and Information.
Yeah, it is.
If you have preseason 10 easiest schedules in the NFL,
yeah. They end up becoming the hardest.
In the last decade, I believe they said 40%, 4 out of 10 will actually end up being top 10 of easiest schedules.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
6 out of 10 will not. That doesn't mean they're going to become the hardest schedules.
Yeah.
But they won't end up being the easiest. We think it's going to be easy, but then teams step up.
Yeah.
And play
somebody
a little
gets
better,
hurt.
Play
somebody,
a little better there. So, Pat, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 5.
4?
Wrong.
3.
Wrong. Let's go to Bill from Mayfair. Bill, I'm trying to think of a number between 1 and 5. What am I thinking of?
1.7.
Exactly. That's just
you know, John, I was talking to a buddy one time about the schedule release show, and he screamed at me 17 times, then don't watch it. So I would just say, don't do it.
No, the schedule's great.
We don't do it. We will not do it.
We just have talked about it nonstop.
I can assure you, we will not do it.
We've talked about not doing it nonstop.
I'd almost rather do it than talk about it.
Can we just re-air Shepherd and do this again?
Don't do that. In the linchpin, Jamie had a strange gas station experience.
This is the Linchpin.
It was more a car wash and vacuum experience, but I'm going to outsource
to you. The gas station with the car wash?
No, or it's not place? A gas station.
Oh,
it's
was a gas station. Okay.
Car wash exclusive place with a vacuuming
so
and self wash.
Bougie place.
Exclusive.
Nah.
I mean, you know, Jamie
bougie.
Only goes to places.
Ah,
on
it's
a,
bougie.
No.
You
yeah, it's
that.
Not
I
bougie
like
at all.
It's not. How much did you spend?
The car wash was $10. I'm not
not
a
no,
super.
That's good.
And
that's
it's a $20 monthly unlimited car wash place.
Do you spend the time?
I don't wash my car that much, but I'm thinking about it for summer. $20 a month's a good deal.
Now, do you have to buy it every month?
Yeah, it goes month to month. You
okay,
just
you
kinda
can cancel
read.
It anytime?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I'd consider that.
Yeah, so I was over. There was a lot of pollen on the car yesterday.
Right.
Some grass had kicked up and stuck to the car, and I needed a vacuum, so I stopped. Now, you guys tell me, because I was borderline fuming at the vacuum station. So the way it is there's two vacuums. One faces right, one faces left. A car pulls up on either side of it.
Correct.
So there's a guy, an older gentleman, nice man. I'm not confrontational, so I wasn't going to have any words with him.
Don't tell me this. I think I know what you're going to say.
So I get up there, and I notice the vacuum on my side of the car is being used by him. So I go, okay, maybe this one's out. And I walk over, I flick it on, and it works. And I'm going, and it's sucking, and I'm going, sir, do you mind if I switch with you? You have my hose, I'll give you this one. And he goes, oh, I didn't think that one was good enough, so I'm using this one. Now, to get his hose around, it doesn't fully reach because you have to go around a concrete barrier and over. You lose some flexibility with the hose.
No question.
It vacuumed my car fine. I was now him. If he felt that wasn't up to snuff, that's on him to drive to another port, not to steal the other side's vacuum. Because then, by him doing that, puts me out for pulling into the proper port.
He's right.
I was irritated as all hell.
I don't think Bob's agreeing.
Sounds like first world problems.
Yeah, obviously, Bob.
But still, though, no, I agree with you.
Right?
That should be.
I was ticked.
No, the thing is, though, were there a bunch of other open spots?
Yes.
Well, then you could have done that then.
But why should I have to move? Pulled into the proper port.
Is he an old man?
He was older than me,
okay,
but not like.
I'm pulling out and going to another spot.
I shouldn't have to.
I know you shouldn't have.
That's on him to do that.
Guess what? Just because
I got screwed because he was inconsiderate.
I know. He's inconsiderate.
This is the argument from Office Space of why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks.
He's the no talent ass clown.
Here's my question on all this. You just flick a switch and the vacuum goes on?
Yeah, it's
on?
An on off.
Yeah, it's an on off switch.
It's free. Free vacuum.
It's free vacuum.
Oh, we don't have that.
Well, that's why I go to this place. The free vacuum's amazing.
There are places like $7.99. Places you can get that right along route, right along Route 30.
Oh, I don't get no free vacuum.
Oh, this
Bob,
is,
right along Route 30.
I go out of my way to go to this place. I like
some.
It so much.
Yeah, there's places you can go. It's like you will not spend $10.
30.
Yeah, right
about?
On
Admiral Wilson Boulevard,
Langstrand. Lanks
I don't live over here, John.
Okay, but still,
you can find a place.
You're from 100 miles from here.
We don't have them. Place. We don't have those
like,
free vacuums.
You want the free vacuum?
It's like $2. I got to get eight
exactly.
quarters.
Exactly. That's why I go to the free one because it's a pain in the ass. Always get quarters.
So you can't complain if you didn't pay money.
I saw.
Yes, I can.
I saw a fit. You could no.
He was out of order.
It's part of your paying for the car wash. I saw a fist fight.
Really?
Break out? It didn't really break into a full bar brawl.
A scuffle.
Where a gentleman. Blasting his music, pulled up between two spots and had the vacuum going from each side.
Oh,
I want to fight you.
On a Saturday.
Oh, Saturdays get
busy.
Other
people are waiting.
Not good.
And this old man got out of his car, and he was going to throw down with the young man.
Good for that old guy.
And the young man looked like a wannabe Eminem.
Oh, that would have made my blood boil.
And he was bowing up on the old man.
I think he's
like,
an ass
what's
face.
What's your problem? And he did the step towards him, and the old man took a swing right at him. Because he stepped towards him.
Yeah.
He started the, like, you know, it's like, the old man was pissed and got out of his car. I pulled over to the side, I was just going, wait. And I'm like, and people are looking, going, seriously? Like, what
so
are
you guys are fighting
and
over vacuums? Blasting,
no. At the kid.
Well, what was he playing, like... Trick Daddy?
I don't know what he was blasting.
Bocelli?
I don't know what he was blasting, but he was blasting. He was blasting it so everybody had to hear it that could have heard it at the business down the street.
Did he take requests?
And then he's going, because he's too lazy to be able to get, I want to use the vacuum from both sides so I don't have to reach it across.
Yeah, that's same principle
this
of this
man,
guy.
This old man was probably, I'd say, 65, 70, and he got, and the minute the kid stepped towards him, Here comes the hook. And then the kid goes, what the hell, dude? What are you doing? And he goes, you just stepped towards me. And then it all was out.
Yeah.
Then he's...
For those reasons, I wouldn't have said anything.
Don't do that.
But under the surface level, I was like, screw you, old man. Like, that's on you to move your car if you don't like the
green. You're still angry.
JD, you irked me. JD, you can say that, but there was empty spots. You could have easily just pulled out.
Exactly. He should have done that. I got inconvenienced because he was lazy.
He probably fought for this country at some point.
Maybe. I don't know. We don't.
I mean,
he
was.
He
probably did.
He was probably. He was in his late 50s, I would say.
Well, then he probably did. Well,
yeah.
Jamie played lacrosse in college.
Him and Chad hung out every single night in college.
If you pull up and the vacuum isn't to your liking, that's on you to move your car. I got screwed because I'm a nice guy.
Nobody has to hear your music blasting either at the gas station.
I turned the car off.
Turn your car off, please. Thank you very much.
So, I don't think he agrees
with
me.
And if that's a rule.
No, I don't agree with you a little bit.
And if that's not a rule, that's just common sense. We don't need to hear it.
Creep Cooney.
Cooney says that Jamie has a habit that he wants to address. And plus, we're going to talk about our favorite Adam Sandler. It's a John Kincaid show here on The Fanatic. The Parks Casino Sportsbook app is absolutely amazing. It's the Fanatic Philly sports fans' sports app of choice. Why? Because it's backed by the number one casino right here in the Philadelphia area, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. And with an offer of a $500 risk-free bet, it's the perfect time for you to get indoctrinated into the game. It's fun. Future bets, player prop bets, game prop bets, they've got it all. But the in-game wagering is honestly where you put your fantasy sports expertise to the choice. Tonight, you've got some Phillies baseball. Tomorrow, you'll have some Sixers basketball. When football season comes around right now, in fact, you can look at some, you're going to look at the schedule tonight. Maybe the schedule comes out and you say, you know what? I think the Eagles can win 8 games. I'm going to be like Jamie. I think they can win 7-8 games. So then you're going to bet the over. You can bet player props, team futures, all these kind of things with the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Use the promo code Fanatic. Get that $500 risk-free bet for new customers. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you've got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hope you're having a tremendous Wednesday morning. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Schedule release tonight, but we should have more leaks throughout the course of the day. I mean, if it's... Now there's 2 members of the New York press that are saying that the 28th of November, the Eagles will be at the Giants. So there's 2 different members that are hearing that.
Yeah.
Now that gives you the ultimate clearance.
Yeah.
I'm hearing.
If I'm wrong, I only heard this.
But it's Eagles saying Eagles Giants will be the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. November 28th.
All right.
November 28th. So that would keep the Eagles out of the Thanksgiving game. Bob wanted one.
I did. I wanted that game.
I think it's a fun game to play in.
I just texted my Giants friends. We're gonna ruin your Thanksgiving weekend.
But
I don't actually mean that.
But we could have played to Dallas on Thanksgiving. The Eagles have done that.
Or that, yes.
See, you always have.
I worked that game 1 year.
Did you enjoy it working on?
Sanchez a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yes, they won too.
They gave us a Thanksgiving meal, but it sucked. I mean, being away from family. Yeah. It's weird knowing everybody.
Were you married?
Yeah.
So you were married.
Yeah.
I would imagine that wouldn't go over well. Like, I mean, because that's.
I was getting paid, so it's easier to sell when you're getting paid, but it still sucked.
If you're Al Michaels and you're away, if you're Troy Aikman and you're away,
sure.
It's a little
Babe, let's get on the private jet and go away the next day.
No, yeah. I think you bring your wife, don't you?
Oh, probably, yeah.
Go and have a dinner at a high-end hotel.
Yeah, I mean, I could have brought her, but then I'm leaving her for 10 hours. It's just not.
Is that how long it would be, the commitment of time?
So you're working
the Sunday night football game.
Yeah.
So you work the night. So Thursday night, they would play the game. What time you got to be there?
Usually call was, let's see, 2 o'clock. So I'd be there
for an 8 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, I'd be there 2 to 12:31.
Hey, what are you doing for 6 hours beforehand?
Meetings, lunch, meetings,
snacks,
truck work. Yeah,
so you have Bob's attention.
Yeah,
I hope it paid well.
Meetings, yeah,
it was good. Yeah,
because that's a lot of that's a big.
It was a grind, yeah, and then flying back the next day, so I didn't miss work. First flight out,
like that.
It was a grind. I'm happy I'm out of it and I got my weekends back. But yeah, I don't regret it or anything.
No, I mean, I'm sure it's a life experience.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, and you're getting to see some of the biggest.
Yeah, I got to work 3 incredible Super Bowls.
And you got to work on the number one television show for 12 years running in America.
Technically, I could have gotten an Emmy. But I would have had to pay for it. And I kind of wish I had.
Good. Why didn't
for you?
Because I had to pay for it.
Really?
Yeah, in hindsight, I wish I had, but whatever.
You can go
How
back
much
and
was
get it?
It
done.
Can you?
Yes.
Yeah. How much are we talking?
You really wouldn't. What, $300, right?
Yeah, I think it was like $300.
I think they're like, I think $285.
Something like that, yeah. I probably should have. It's a good mantle piece, conversation piece.
That's
whatever.
A great conversation
piece. Yeah, it would have been cool.
Bob Janet did, in writing, what is the big, like a Pulitzer...
Yeah.
I don't think
Bob's the PA Sports Writer of the Year.
Yeah. What year was that?
That's
my last honor.
Year. Yeah, it's a big one.
That is a big honor.
I got Pennsylvania Sports Writer of the Year, I think, 2000, for the 2016 year.
Because that
big thing out in North Carolina, like the gathering of the 50 winners and all.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's fantastic.
I didn't go.
Why?
I don't. I
Why
work.
Did you not go?
I had to work.
Bob, seriously?
They sent me the award.
Bob doesn't like accolades.
That's incredible.
I get, why?
Because being the best sports writer, being voted the best sports writer in the state of Pennsylvania means a hell of a lot more than being the best sports writer. I say it to you all the time. There is a freaking smorgasbord here of great writers that reside just in this city. Compared to other markets, and I can tell you one, it begins with an A and ends with an A. There's so much more talent.
I
think that's an incredible honor.
Yeah, I was humbled. It was great.
It's unbelievable.
It was funny. I was not to talk about me. I was driving home from Kyle's last high school basketball game. They just lost in the state playoff game, so it was. Yeah, kind of an emotional time. He's playing for my old high school.
Sure, it's his last game, right?
He was emotional, whatever. And I'm driving home, and I get home, and Brian Seltzer from the Six sends me a text, congratulations. And I was like, cool, on what? He's like, are you serious? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And he's like, you just won Sports Writer of the Year. And I was, oh, really? So I had to Google. I don't know, whatever.
I got a little football nugget for you.
It's
not a schedule.
Who did
the
Eagles play week 2?
No, not a schedule thing.
Okay.
I'm curious, kick the tires. Would you guys have interest? First round draft picks can change plans. The Arizona Cardinals took Zaven Collins, 16th overall. He's now already the starting Mike backer. The team has given Jordan Hicks permission to find a new home via trade, source said. Hicks is a respected leader in Arizona, and they want to do right by him.
Okay.
He's 30 years old.
Would you take...
Played very good out in Arizona.
Oh no, he played very well. I'm interested in shopping.
I have some slight
what
interest
kind of
too.
Money? What's the contract?
Let me take a look at that.
Yeah, because that's what I would. Boy, I would.
That definitely piques my interest.
Wait, who are we talking about here?
Jordan Hicks.
Welcome to the show, okay. Bob.
I didn't hear who you said.
His cap hit this year is $6 million.
Oh, I'm interested.
There's
in
an out after this year, and then you're on the hook for $9 million if you pick up the option.
I'm completely interested in shopping in that.
So interested.
That's about
there.
The right money that you could probably
that's fantastic.
Swing.
Yeah. And it gives you the flexibility that the Cardinals aren't going to get a lot.
Yeah.
Because of him.
They've already played their hand.
Because of the out. Oh, I like that.
Interesting, right?
Yeah,
I like that.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, I always loved Hicks. It was just
so
a shame he couldn't stay healthy here. But
so
he stayed healthy out there.
Correct.
Interesting.
I find that one very interesting.
And he's a high character guy.
No
I think
question.
They would
no
definitely
question.
Have interest in him.
I just want somebody out there whose name I hear 5 or 6 times a game.
Just a tackle.
Oh,
Nate
nice
Gary.
Play by not in the way of beating Nate Gary.
Oh,
no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my. There you go.
I wonder if Howie's on the phone.
Hey, do you have a stucco home? Call the stucco testing specialist. They're going to schedule your professional stucco inspection today. Mention the Fanatic to receive $50 off. Visit stuccotestingspecialist.com. One of our listeners called for it yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Because of the fact that he said, when I brought up that there were all the brown marks you could see on the side of people's houses, and he said his wife
she
constantly brings that up and says, is that just need to be pressure washed? So he's having it checked.
Nice.
And you mentioned,
look at you reaching the people.
You can reach out. Hey, that's fine work. So, all right. Jamie has a habit. Bob Cooney thinks it's a bit weird.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
And he's about to do it again, much to the chagrin of one coach, Eric Camille. And he is. He's doing it again. So Jamie has a habit that he just takes his, what is it?
Clementine? I guess they're like membrane veins.
So on the clementine. He peels his clementine and then takes out the membrane brains.
Veins.
Brains.
They're awful. No, you ever get one stuck in a molar? It's not fun.
So he does this, and it drives Coach nuts. And it's a really bad habit, Coach says, because he does it on air, and people are watching on YouTube, the 283 watching right now.
And watching him peel, and it drives Coach nuts.
It does. Drives him crazy.
Yeah, Coach is nuts.
So it's a bad habit. I'll call it a bad habit.
And it is a bad habit.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes.
Why?
Because it doesn't look like you're paying attention.
But I'm very much paying attention.
No, you're not. It says did you see Joe Bell standing behind you? You didn't, did you?
I'm paying attention to the segment. I'm not focused behind me, Bob.
You're focused on your clementine.
You're focused on a clementine. That's what Coach's point is that you're focused on a clementine. No, it's
not. Like, if I had a spinner, I have ADD. So, like, if I can do something, it helps me focus. Like, if I had a fidget spinner in my hand, I could spin that all show and I'd be locked in.
A fidget spinner. Or
like a stress ball or something. Like something where I can get my hands moving.
So if Coach gets you a stress ball, you won't do this on air.
Well, no, I still eat clementine, so I'm going to.
Oh, but you can do that on break.
I eat them on the break. I don't eat them on air.
Yeah, I think I have about maybe 5 or 6 of those fidget spinners that Cameron got for Christmas. I am going to bring one in tomorrow. Or I'll bring all 6 of them in, and Jamie can use that because if I see him do this one more time. That will be it. Like, I thought after the last time I came into the studio today and I kind of joked around about it, stuff that Jamie kind of understood.
I don't eat them on air. What's the problem? John plays with his papers and folds them up and crinkles them up. It's no different.
No, it's completely different. Yeah. I'm doing the show.
I'm doing the show, too. I'm peeling them right now.
You're peeling
Have I been absent in this conversation?
You're peeling an orange.
No, you've been an annoying participant.
You guys are annoying me.
All right, so here's my question.
Jimmy's feeling bullied.
What habit did a professional athlete have that drove you absolutely crazy?
Simple, and it created an entire epidemic.
I knew you were going to say this one.
You know what it is?
Yeah, Rudy.
Omar Garcia Parra, who absolutely has to go through his rituals, and then every kid had to start doing it too.
Yeah.
And then all the players behind him have to go through their ritual, and then grab the crotch, move your adjust the glove every freaking pitch. It's part of the reason why baseball drags to a halt.
I got one.
Go ahead.
The Burrow butt. Anything inside when Pat Burrow would shoot his butt out. And try and, like, frame it as if it was way inside, when half the time there were strikes, would drive me bonkers.
Not many people complained about the Burrow butt here.
No, the ladies loved the Burrow butt.
It was quite
It drove successful. Me nuts.
Well, the two that came to mind was Jason Kidd blowing a kiss to his wife before every single free throw.
Pat, you
hated
are
it.
The greatest.
Thank you so much. I didn't mind That's so much when they got divorced and he started blowing a kiss and then wiping his butt with it. But, that was annoying. And then, you don't remember that? Yeah, right after they got divorced, he would wipe. Childish, but it was kind of funny.
Churlish.
When you're 13. The other one was Brent Celek looking for a flag after every time he didn't catch a football. It was like, dude, no one was around you. You just didn't catch the ball.
Oh, I got another one. James Thrash pointing to the sky after, like, a first down catch. Like, dude, you just caught a 5-yard out. Relax.
Yeah, there's a lot of that that goes on. The celebration in football is crazy. Mine was as a little kid. I don't know if you guys might not remember this player. His name was Adrian Dantley.
Yes.
He went to Notre Dame and then came in the pros. So when he shot a foul shot, he would always curl his right hand over the ball beforehand and bring it back before he... I don't know why.
It bothered you that
much. It drove me bat bleep crazy when I was a kid. Yeah, so, Jamie's just so annoying. I wanted to take it to other places.
I can't believe this guy bothers you this much.
It's looking at your phone saying, I am listening.
The people watching on YouTube.
They love it. The people love
it. They are 100% behind Coach. It's not 99%. It's
100%. No, well, I bet you I can find somebody who likes it.
I'm reading. Jamie is being an entitled child. Put it down.
Entitled
the damn
child.
Clementine.
I'm thinking of Clementine.
Wait, this one's good. It says everybody. Sorry, Coach. Everybody finds Jamie appealing. Get it?
I like that guy.
Joe Shucker. Peel away, brother.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
There you go, Joe.
Love it.
What do you say, Joe?
Thanks
Shucker.
For the support, guys.
Joe Shucker.
Look, for 25 years, we weren't broadcast on TV.
One guy says, "Oh my God, someone how long does it aren't. Take to peel an orange?"
I got to get all of them. When you get one in your teeth, it's so freaking annoying. Because then you can't get it out, and it's up there for like 45 minutes, and then you're figuring...
Well, wait a minute, that's just good dental care will keep you from having that happen. Do you floss?
Yeah, I use the plaquers.
You don't floss enough.
Well, I don't have floss with me.
Every day.
I eat these for breakfast.
Do you floss every day?
Huh? Yeah. Do you floss on you right now?
You're a flosser?
No, but what we have is...
You floss in the car.
Oh, my God. So
like you, I have he clips his nails in the car.
Gross.
Shut up. That is gross. I have a jumbo pack. I don't...
Shut up. Oh, that is filthy.
I have a jumbo pack of the little...
They're plackers.
Yeah, that's what they are.
But dentists don't like those.
I don't care what
the dentists don't like the little ones. They like where you actually have to take the...
Yeah, the rope and...
And take it.
Yeah. And I'm like, look, I'm doing it, so just
new
deal.
By the way, new dentist... Because I haven't had doctors here forever. The dentist I stumbled onto, spectacular.
Oh, yeah?
Love him. Love him.
A good dentist is nice.
And I'm telling you, it's great. It's great when I had a 220 yesterday. I walked in at 2:14.
Seen early?
220. I walk. It is 220. I look at my phone, and here's the young lady to come and bring me back. They respect it. I've been there twice. They respect your time.
That's nice.
It's all about your time. You're in, you're out. They're not overscheduled, so you sit for 40 minutes. Really good.
My old dentist was like a magician.
You can email me and I'll tell you his name.
With like, if you had to get a Novocaine shot, you wouldn't even feel it.
I didn't feel it either.
I had to get a root canal at my new old previous dentist, and it was like, it was butcher work.
Oh my God.
And I wanted to jump out the window.
The first time I ever got a cavity, they gave me Novocaine in the wrong area, and I didn't know any better.
Oh my God.
So they filled the tooth. Grow up, Bob.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They put the Novocaine in the wrong area?
They must have because it didn't numb. It didn't numb at all.
Didn't you tell them that before it starts?
I never had a cavity before, so I didn't know what it felt like. Oh. But I was like, this sucks. And then the next time I got a cavity, surprisingly enough, with all the sugar I eat, I was like, this is awesome.
I had a procedure one time where the numbness didn't take.
Mm.
Wait a minute. So didn't you stop it?
No, so it was a... two-sided procedure. The first side it took fine. The second side they couldn't get it to take for some reason.
Ugh.
And they had to continue onward without.
Oh my God, no.
That was pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Well, the doctor said to me, he goes, "My God, you have a high threshold of pain."
Well, what could you do? You're in the
said, I'm a man. I drink beer and have sex.
We have audio of Bob going through that.
Let's
that whole
it.
Thing.
Stop! Okay, keep doing it. Yeah!
That was Bobby in the room.
By the way, John, would you do Zach Ertz for Jordan Hicks?
They're not doing that deal. You can't do that.
Zach Ertz would be a good addition to Arizona.
It would be, but they're not taking $8.5 million for Zach Ertz.
No, he's $6 million.
He's still thinking that Zach Ertz can be traded.
And you throw in a pick. Jordan Hicks is $6 million.
Well, you're going to give up a lot. I mean, what's the pick going to be? Second round pick?
Nah.
What? Ian?
You're thinking
what do you got?
Ertz? Third? You're thinking Ertz gets you Jordan Hicks? No.
They just played their hand.
You thought that Ertz was going to be traded before. You kept saying he'll be traded tomorrow.
He'll be traded tomorrow.
He's not being. Nobody wants him. It's $8.5 million.
They don't want Jordan Hicks.
It's $8.5 million. They do not want
him. Pick up some of that. You're taking $6 million off the Cardinals.
Nobody wants.
I want
Jordan Hicks.
Nobody wants.
I'd like Jordan Hicks to be.
Nobody
here.
Wants Zach Ertz for that money.
Look
nobody
at wants. Him. Not $8.5 million. What
he's
do you want?
He's a tight end who's been beat up.
For some reason, that mic's just not getting you there.
Yeah, you got it. Turn it towards you a little
here
more.
Here he is.
How about that?
There you go.
That sounds perfect.
So, good morning, boy.
I'm glad to
you
too.
How you doing?
Okay, so I got a couple for John okay. and Jamie.
What do we got?
Bobby.
I like this segment. I just sit back.
Where's your badge?
What badge?
Your badge.
I don't have a badge.
Call him a narc?
Are you a lieutenant or a captain?
I'm not sure. Tell me what it would be.
No freaking no fun police.
No fun
You're
police?
You're such a no fun policeman.
What's fun?
W's
Tell me what
L's.
Fun is.
Oh, oh you can't have W's and L's.
No, you can't.
Oh, my God. You know why people do it? Because it's fun. It's mindless fun. Because
oh, it's mindless.
It's your idea.
It's mindless.
I know you're I know you hate fun. I know you hate
No, I love fun.
No, you don't. You hate it.
I love preparation. I love logic. I love logic. I don't love.
Dude,
I don't like.
It's people thinking about the sport.
Guess what?
They're
no,
thinking
it's not.
About the season.
I think. I think
such
they.
Such a freaking anal no fun.
I think they.
Oh,
they're going to win the Chiefs game, and the next week on a short
yeah,
week they lose to Dallas, and then
they can't wait for the season to start.
Mother, father.
There's plenty of reason. Go on. Go to him next. Go to him next.
And you,
mother, father.
I love it. And
What's
you.
Up? And you.
And you.
And you. What did I do? What now?
What didn't you do?
What in the world? You guys can't... Now, you're anti-religion?
Huh?
You can't point to the sky? Everybody points to the sky.
Oh, chill out, James Thrash, on a three-yard reception.
No, you hate,
come on, you're defending James Thrash?
You hate God?
No.
Are you anti-God?
That's nothing to do with that. That's to do with celebrating four-yard pickups.
Way, you're anti-Schefter!
No, I'm not. No, I love Schefter.
You have Schefter's back.
Yes. I always have Schefter's back.
You should
back.
Have Schefter's back. He's busy.
He thanked me before for having his back.
John's response there.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I would just say,
I would
please.
Do the same thing. Yeah.
I was stalling God. For him on there.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I got Schefter's back.
Dude, I'm just joking.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
And, I agree with you with...
Pinchin.
What in the world is Joe Girardi?
I don't get it.
Is he out of his mind?
He's struggling.
Guess what? He's really struggling.
He is. First of all, you're blessed. You get 5 innings from that dude. All right? Take him out, go win the game, and be done with it. That's what you got to do.
Didn't happen.
And he
well,
waits.
Well, it did happen. They win, but.
But he waits.
Yes.
Bad. One Joe.
I don't get
bad
it.
Joe.
Bad
I hope,
Joe.
I hope that Joe, I hope this is just a bad stretch.
Ooh, I
because,
don't know, Johnny.
I know, here's how I'm going to give it. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit more because of the fact he has a pedigree of knowing what he's doing. He's been terrible this year.
Awful.
Terrible. Yeah, he's bad.
He's no Joe Torre.
Oh, jeez. That was awesome. Anthony Gargano's got Cuz Radio coming up for you at the top of the hour. I expect fun and hijinks. Is going to be part of it. It's a good word. Hijinks never used much anymore. We appreciate you being a part of the show. Remember, support life-saving cancer research. Join me and our gorgeous, generous partner. They have the most beautiful windows in the world. Window Nation. Your house is going to look spectacular. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Cancer research saves lives. We will be back tomorrow. We will know exactly when we're going to Vegas, and we will know exactly what the Eagles schedule looks like. And we won't play wins, losses. Love you. Have a great day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.